Oh, no. Oh, no.
Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantz. It's Richard Roper sitting in today, and I just ate peanuts before we got on here, so I was all choked up and verklempt.
That's one of Ro's rules of radio, which he violates all the time.
He breaks that rule.
Is never have anything like peanuts right before going on the air.
Yeah, he's always like, I don't eat peanuts. And then all of a sudden, he'll eat peanuts.
Take it. He's like one of his characters. I'm old man character because I've got peanuts down my throat.
Old timey man. Yeah, we miss old timey man. And we miss Ro. Yeah, good point.
I recommend something easy on the throat, like Triscuits.
Is that what you're working
like
on over there?
Something like the saltine crackers. Those are always good for the throat before a radio show.
Yeah, a little fireball shot. Ready to go. Let's do this thing.
That's coming up in the Carnarvon Wagon later, guys. I'm happy you asked. We do have a great Friday Carnarvon Wagon thing.
Yeah.
TGIF to everybody, all right? TGIF.
Beautiful, beautiful day in the city of Chicago.
Gorgeous.
And all around the Chicago area.
Right. And we know that April showers bring May flowers, but May showers bring June mosquitoes, apparently. We've got a lot of June mosquitoes on the way. That's one of the stories.
June mosquito. That was Jackie Gleason's first wife. I remember that. She was wonderful, but could be
a sting.
How many
wives did he have?
I don't know.
Was he over five in Hollywood, or is he?
Possible.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got Tamon Bradley talking to us from WGN-TV because, you know, a lot going on in Springfield. You just heard the House pass that recreational marijuana legislation.
Yeah.
So it goes to the governor's desk, and there's really nothing to, we know that he'll sign it. Governor Pritzker has already said that he will. So it's about to become law. I think it starts in January, but it'll be passed and we'll have a new recreation.
Yeah. Okay.
Dude, we're ready for that. Or are we? I don't know. There's 600 pages and the devil's in the details, but Tamon Bradley.
Well, maybe Mueller can come out a year later and explain it all to us in an 8-minute press conference.
Because
nobody reads.
And another thing. I wonder if it'll be redacted. The parts that we
probably
don't want
to I have a specific question, but I'm gonna wait for Tamon to talk.
Tamon will answer it because he does read these things.
The
unlike you and me,
out.
Richard, he read the 620-page marijuana legislation bill that's
just
about
watch
to become
him
law.
And it's easier,
so. Yeah, it is. It's much easier. And so we'll talk about that. What to do in the Chicago area and the suburbs on this cool weekend. I mean, it's first weekend of June we're heading into.
That? Yeah.
And Lauren Lapka's been doing some research, and she's going to update us on some of the fun stuff.
So many things.
This is like the...
It's overwhelming. Sometimes.
The festival season begins, really, I think, this weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of when you just open the floodgates, and it's festival.
What I do is I just wear the same wristband and the same stamp on my left hand the whole summer.
And you don't wash your hands.
Just keep the wristband and the stamp
at me.
There.
Riot Fest. Isn't that cool? Check it out. Mayfest. Anyway, it's all going on this
weekend. So L Squared will have the scoop for us there.
Awesome. So Lauren will talk about that. We have a man with a plan. Get this. There's a guy who has developed a business around what to do with the Asian carp. And it's this novel solution. He's really thought this out.
Okay.
And he's got an idea about how to solve our problems while solving another problem on the East Coast.
Oh, all right.
So it's like he's got it all figured out. And he's going to explain to us how the dreaded, hated, feared Asian carp.
Turning Asian carp into lemonade, if you will.
Because remember
two birds with one stone, except for two fish.
Two fish with one stone.
Did you ever try to do that? Don't do that, by the way.
Why would I ever try to do that? Have you ever tried Asian carp? Because remember when they tried to make it into tacos and stuff.
Yeah,
It really didn't taste good.
Yeah, I did one of those things where on live TV you pretend you like everything, and I said, well, okay.
That's a start.
It was not good. It tastes like you would imagine.
Right. It tastes like
if you ever have your tire pop off on the highway and you just took a little piece of that tire and threw some hot sauce on it and put it between some French bread, that's what Asian carp tastes like.
About right.
Hot garbage.
Yeah, hot garbage. Oh, that's a new place that's opening, I think.
I think so. Is that going to be in the update on the weekend for what's happening this weekend? Check it out.
Well, I can't wait to hear what his solution is.
It seems pretty genius. So he's gonna break that down for us. We'll have a top five of five. You won't believe. We'll be talking about our Walk of Fame people.
Yeah. I got inducted into the Walk of Shame this week, too. So
you
kind of
did. I heard what happened at the Royal George Theater this yesterday.
Oh,
we need to talk about that, too.
Sure. My one night only stage appearance.
And I thought
yesterday.
You were a Sox fan. So very confusing to
it's
me.
It's very confusing to a lot of people. I got yelled at on the Twitterverse.
They're like, what? What are you doing?
People take things like Godzilla and Cub Sox way too seriously. You know, I'm like, folks, there are things happening in the world. Settle down. Don't make me mute you.
But you did something that really kind of
shocked some people.
Shocking.
I got booed by one person.
Oh, no.
I told my mother she was going to come to this event. She had to behave. No. Your mom would never do that.
She's a Sox fan, too. Everybody's in the family
is
Sox fans.
Pretty much, yeah.
That was really strange how you did something for the Cubs.
I did.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. And actress Bryce Dallas Howard, one of my favorites. You got an interview with her. We'll be talking to her today.
Yeah, she plays Elton John's mother in the new Rocket Man movie, ages from like around 20 to 70 years old. Bryce Dallas Howard, you remember from the Jurassic movies, she's the one running around with the Chris Pratt. Of course, she's the daughter of the great Ron Howard. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to her. She was in London, and it was just after the world premiere of Rocket Man. We had a chance to chat, so we're going to play that a little bit later. Yeah, she's wonderful.
I would hope she is, because she seems like one of those people that
such a sweetheart.
Her dad is just
so cool.
That way, and that you would expect her to be that way as well. And then I know you're not doing reviews today, but the Rocket Man you did talk about yesterday.
Yeah, we'll recap that a little bit later on, and then we're going to talk about one of Anna's favorite TV series in recent years.
So excited it's returning. Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Did we know? A lot of people were surprised
because that's an HBO series, of course, with Nicole Kidman and Laura Dern, Shailene Woodley, Reese Witherspoon. And it ended,
it
seemed to end on a perfect note. It was based on a novel, and everyone said, well, that's the way to end a limited series. But the same person who wrote the novel then wrote a follow-up novella. So for those people going, wait a minute, I thought that was going to be one season. It was, but it was so popular. I think it won 16 Emmy nominations and big numbers. So they find a way for a season two when ka-ching happens at HBO.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to you about
that. You'll talk about that as well. And, you know, we'll just have fun on this Friday, too.
Like fun?
In the world.
What?
Yeah, we'll try to do that as well. But let's take a break here because we have a lot to talk to Tamon Bradley about with the Springfield stuff and the Midnight Deadline tonight. And let's check in with Kim Gordon, see what's happening bottom of the hour in the WGN Radio News.
May 31st will go down as Illinois' 420 day. We'll explain coming up.
Hey, check it out tonight. The weekend starts on WGN-TV. The Sox host the Tribe. That's the Cleveland Indians, for those of you playing at home. That's the Southsiders trade swings with Cleveland. Sox on a big winning streak. The game is tonight at 7 on WGN-TV. Is this the new Illinois theme song?
Yeah, they might want to change the song. We did play the song on the air last week, and maybe it's time. Recreational marijuana on the way to the governor's desk. We know that he'll sign it. The clock is ticking in Springfield. Midnight tonight, the legislative session ends, and there's an ambitious slate of legislation before them. And as we know how these things go, you've got a Democratic supermajority and the political will to get a lot done. But let's talk to Tamon Bradley. He knows these things. He's in Springfield of WGN-TV. And we just heard that the recreational marijuana bill has made it to the governor's desk, right, Tamon?
They did pass the legalization of recreational marijuana. That will take effect January 1st, 2020, after Governor Pritzker signs it. He says he will sign it. But I've got more breaking news for you. We're supposed to wrap up here. The session is supposed to end at midnight. Everyone here all day has been wondering how they were going to land the plane, but they're not going to land the plane tonight. It turns out they can just refuel midair. The speaker has announced that session will be held on Saturday and Sunday. Democrats have supermajorities in both chambers, so they can do whatever they want. So we're going to keep going because there's still a lot to do. They still haven't done a budget. There's a gaming bill that is being held in committee as we speak and going over the details of all of that. And so we're just gonna plow ahead, even as a lot of people celebrate the passage of this marijuana bill.
It's like when you're in Vegas and you're doing so well. Let's extend our trip.
Keep going. Which is never always
a great idea. Tamon, I want to go back a little bit and talk about this recreational marijuana legislation and what it will actually mean in terms of, are there going to be licensees that will have actual storefronts? How will it work?
That is correct. So the idea is to eliminate as much as possible the underground, the black market, and so people will obtain licenses, and that will, of course, raise revenue for the state. But at this hour, actually, Governor Pritzker is not counting on that revenue as being part of his budget. That's a sidebar issue. But the backers, the sponsors of this bill, Kelly Cassidy, state representative from Chicago, who has pushed long and hard and working on this for 5 years, certainly wanted to raise revenue off of this, but wanted to do more than that. There is a social equity component that Democrats talk a lot about. The governor will pardon marijuana convictions up to 30 grams. So that means people with low-level nonviolent drug offenses will see their records expunged. So that was very controversial. Republicans, the original way they wrote the bill was that automatically the legislature, just by virtue of this thing being signed, would go back and expunge the records. And the Republicans objected to that's not constitutional. The governor will need to issue pardons. And then a percentage of the tax revenue will go to programs designed to reinvest in minority communities. People hurt, Democrats say, by the war on drugs.
Now, the other issue, the other pushback we heard on this bill was from law enforcement groups who said that we're not sure how to enforce driving under the influence of marijuana. We're not sure how to gauge how many personal plants you're allowed to have. Is there still, does legislation still provide for personal home growing?
So there were some changes to that. No, medical users can still grow at home, 5 plants, but there will be no personal growth at home. Yes, law enforcement pushed back very hard against that. And the fact is, in Colorado, traffic fatalities are up. We don't have a good system to gauge whether or not you're driving under the influence of marijuana. They don't have a good test, I guess is what I should say. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there were concerns in the end. Look, it was the kind of legislation that some Republicans wanted to vote for, but they saw the roll call. And then they ultimately backed off, so they didn't have to go back to their districts and explain. You know, law enforcement was objecting. You had people, you know, in the business community. So there were modifications put in place, so local municipalities can pass ordinances just saying, "Hey, we're not going to have this." They can restrict it however they want, and I think you're going to see people doing that going forward.
Did any Republicans vote for it? I didn't quite understand what you said there, Tamon. Did you get it? Did any Republicans?
Well, in the House, I haven't seen the final vote tally. You did have Jason Barrick and in the Senate, a very prominent Republican, who cast support for it. But there was a sense that this could be something that you know could pass with 80% of House members voting for it. That was not the final vote tally. It was mostly Democrats. And then you had some Democrats that didn't vote for it. Representative Mary Flowers of Chicago. Basically said that she didn't think that this did enough in terms of the equity and repairing the damage done by the war on drugs. She mentioned, you know, that there needed to be more investment because when you look at people who had criminal records who couldn't go out and get jobs because they had a past marijuana conviction,
right.
You know, where is the restoration for them? But look, a lot of people are applauding this. The fact is other states have done this, and it's just the natural evolution, I think, in the decriminalization of marijuana.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to ask you also, Tamon, about the gambling bill, which, again, you know, as you mentioned, I think 25 states or something like that have already had some legalization of marijuana, and nearly as many have moved forward with video gaming, with sports wagering, you name it. Where are we standing right now on more legalized gambling in Chicago and Illinois statewide?
So that just emerged, right? Everybody has been wondering what would happen. Governor Pritzker, for a while, has backed off from vowing support for a Chicago casino, just sort of saying he wanted sports betting, and if lawmakers added to that, he would go along with it. And so the proposal that has emerged, it is literally being discussed in committee right now. 6 casinos would be authorized, including one in Chicago. It would basically be a mega casino, a massive sort of operation. Now, Mayor Lightfoot wanted Chicago to own the casino. Currently, under the way that the bill is written, the state would own it, and Chicago would get a third of the receipts, but there would be 4,000 gaming positions. So this would be a very, very,
huge,
very big casino. Plus, slot machines would be allowed at O'Hare in Midway. And sports betting also would be authorized in the state of Illinois, but there was concern about the safety of college sports athletes, and so wagers on Illinois college teams would be banned under the current proposal.
Dang, I have Northwestern +7 already in a game in October. I better keep that on
the
DL.
Go Cats! Go Cats! Do we know where the Chicago casino would be located?
We do not. You know, Mayor Rahm Emanuel came out and talked about the far southeast side, maybe the Hegwisch, but of course he's no longer mayor. Lori Lightfoot really hasn't shed a lot of light on where she would like to see it. You know, just me, Tamon Bradley, we're selling the Thompson Center, right? Can we put it across some City Hall?
Great idea. That's a great idea. I like that one, except you'd have to kind of build the safety rails around the center of that, because I think that's always a problem.
Yes, but we can make it work.
We can.
All I know is a year from now, I want to be smoking a joint and checking out and see how the Bears are doing -3. That's all I'm asking for. All legal.
Yeah, you'll be able to do that, or edibles, and it's coming to
what could go wrong
on January 1st.
Yep.
We'll see how it plays. I don't know. People you know, there's some people concerned about folks high on the Dan Ryan, right? They already drive really fast.
Maybe this will slow them down.
You're going 4. Move over. Pull over.
And maybe everyone will start driving really slowly.
Yeah, that's not good.
Or maybe it'll slow things down. Mm-hmm. It'll really get parked.
Oh, I'm in my back seat. Oh, dang it.
I can't wait for self-driving cars. I think this is important. Tamon Bradley, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for
Tamon.
Checking in with us from Springfield. Busy day out there, and we appreciate the time. WGN-TV's Tamon Bradley.
My pleasure.
The other thing we have to get to is NBA Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen. It just crossed. He is suing a 5-year-old for, I guess, like his mansion was defaced by a 5-year-old. His Miami mansion. This 5-year-old took some crayons and markers and did some things, and he did not like it. So there's a lawsuit being filed on behalf of Scottie Pippen.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's not in the news. We're going to have much more important news coming up, and it's sponsored by Townstone Financial. Let's get over to Kim Gordon. It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper in for Ro today as he's taking the week off. We miss Ro. He'll be back Monday, we hope, and we think so, and we'll keep you posted more on what's going on with Ro. We want to get to all the fun things going on this weekend. Lauren Lapka's done some research on there's just so much going on in the city. This is that time of year when you feel like you're missing out if you don't get out and enjoy, and a lot to do, a lot to choose from. So she's going to get into that in a second. But let me just update that breaking Scottie Pippen news. He has filed a lawsuit against a 5-year-old girl and her family for trashing his Fort Lauderdale, Florida mansion, defacing the property with crayons and markers and vandalizing it. Apparently, they rented it after the storms Hurricane Irma tore through. So they needed to rent a house. They allowed him to rent it. They had a $50,000 security deposit, but the lawsuit suggests the damage this 5-year-old did would not even come close to covering what they did to this mansion. So,
good Lord. Child.
Imagine what a child could do.
Erasable markers, right? Don't they have those things in your mom?
Crayons come out pretty easily, you know? I found. I mean, you don't like to see them on the walls.
Jeez, maybe they're big Knicks fans or something like that. You know?
I mean, if he took knives
Mr. and Mrs. Patrick Ewing were sued today.
So that's
golly.
That. I know, is that strange? Very, very strange. The 5-year-old could do that much damage.
There you go.
There you go. That's what the lawsuit says. Let's get over to Lauren Lapka. So, Lauren, you've done some research, right? And you've figured out. Am I right? There's like a ton of stuff going on.
Oh my gosh. Yes. There's already like more than 5 festivals going on, and that's not even counting just food and drink related things, as well as exercise things like runs and arts and entertainment. And it's some other very random things as well. So, I mean, I guess let's start with some of the festivals, since a lot of those are already starting today in about a few hours. A lot of them start at 5. So we have Mayfest today. That starts at 5. That's over in Lincoln Square. That closes parts of Lincoln and Leland, but it is a big German festival. So you got a bunch of beer, brats, sauerkraut, and of course music. It's just a really good time overall, and it goes throughout the weekend.
Cool.
I know that it's quite popular with a lot of people in the area, but at the same time, you got to bring your Lederhosen. So.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have that, don't you, Richard? You've got some Lederhosen?
Yes, absolutely. Well, Roper is a German name.
I would imagine. And you like Brubskis.
Particularly in those beer mugs that are the size of R2-D2 that the Germans love for their own fest. So Mayfest, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
If you're not feeling German, maybe you're feeling Greek, and you can head over to the Lincoln Park Greek Fest.
I am feeling Greek.
Yeah, that also starts tonight at 5, also goes on throughout the weekend. This is at the St. George Greek Orthodox Church.
That's so a great church, by the way. That's one with the young families.
Yeah.
It's kind of the Greek churches are not really known for the parties, but that is one of those churches that has a lot of young membership, and they do some fun things on the weekends.
Is the password to get into that feta?
I don't know.
Asking for a friend.
No one could spell tzatziki, so they had to.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so obviously food, music, fun, but this closes Sheffield between Wrightwood and Diversey, so do be aware of that if you are driving in the area.
Yeah.
Other than that, we have the Hyde Park Brew Fest. That's Saturday and Sunday, 12 to 9. You do need tickets for that one if you want to sample over 50 different brews, but that's at 53rd and Harper Court. There's also the Dew Division Street Fest starting today at 5. That's obviously on Division. They have 2 live music stages, local vendors, food, and a family fun fest area, so you don't have to keep the kids at home.
I like when they do that with the Street Fest, where they have an area for the folks with the strollers and the kids.
Kiddos.
Yeah,
definitely. And Chicago Ale Fest, that's just tomorrow, but that's at Butler Field. Tickets are $59, but that's more than 200 craft beers, plus live music, food trucks, and activities. So for those fellow beer lovers out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is, yeah. I you don't know, think it's I've big ever been to that
in
one.
In a spot where they used to land planes. You know, that's a big festival area, right?
Have you been to that one? I don't think
I have. It's a little overwhelming, actually. You got to pace yourself. You can't stop at the first tent or the first booth. You know, you got to get your sea legs.
Do they give you little taster beers?
A lot of times you get full sizers. Because sometimes you taste the cherry almond strudel lager that was made in Jimmy's basement last Tuesday. It's not always the best, but they have a lot of good ones as well.
Ooh, yeah. And pro tip. So this might be the strangest festival, not in terms of it's weird, but it's different. I've never heard this. This is the Nourished Festival. So it's for gluten-free people, allergy and specialty diet people. It's at the Schaumburg Convention Center on Saturday and Sunday. So obviously anyone that has some kind of food issue, this is a place for you. You can learn a bunch of different types of foods or recipes, things like that. But tickets are $5 to $35. But you can sample and purchase products from over 100 vendors there.
That's big, because I know a lot of people who deal with that with someone in their family. It's like you try to find tasty foods that actually pass that test, and it can be pretty, you know,
challenging.
Challenging and harmful if you don't, you know, find the right food. So,
yeah, no, I actually like that idea, because it sounds like, because there's so many people that have that and they feel kind of like, oh God, I have to be the pain in the butt at every restaurant or every event. So they can be with like-minded or like physically conditioned, you know, if they got different things. So I think it'll make people feel safe and ask all the questions they always ask.
Yeah,
you know, and
absolutely.
Maybe bring
That's
home
cool.
some of the stuff. Okay.
As for some other food lovers, we do have the Taste of Mexico, which started already today. That's kicked off at 3, and that goes throughout the weekend on 26th Street, so that's close between California and Kedzie in Little Village. But nearly 20 local restaurants will be selling authentic Mexican street foods and, of course, music, arts, and crafts. There's actually also a large carnival ride area, so make sure to maybe ride
that's
those
a party.
Before you.
Yeah. That's really. Good tip.
Drink margaritas after.
Pro tip from Lauren. That's a good point. But that's probably out of, I mean, all
that
of these are fun, but if you want to really have a great time, there you go.
Great food.
There's also Wing Out Chicago. That's Saturday and Sunday at St. Michael's Church, their parking lot on Eugenie. So this is all
Good Lord.
Can get wings from like the city's top vendors, some live music, but tickets are $36 to $56. Try out the best of the best of wings. Get ready for football season.
Are there coupons for lap band surgery at the end of this weekend? Good Lord, right?
This is every
weekend. The Pepto-Bismol tent will be open on Sunday.
A lot of food and beverages to be had for sure.
And that's one of the most beautiful churches in the city too, right there. So you can stare at that while you're engorging.
Definitely. And a few other things, if you're into arts and entertainment type things, the 57th Street Art Fair is at Hyde Park Saturday and Sunday. And there's the Gold Coast Art Fair Saturday and Sunday in Grant Park. Also, for music lovers, Ravinia, it's opening night. Very exciting.
It's opening night.
Yeah.
Oh, if you leave now, you'll get there for the encore. Who's opening? Do we know who's opening?
It's called Ramsey Fest, so I think it's Ramsey Lewis. He's kind of headlining the thing as well as some other performers. But always exciting. That is definitely a sign of summer when Ravinia opens up.
Totally is. You got your colored balloon and your little pull cart with all your food and beverages, and you're off to go. You got to go at least once.
I know our friend Richard Marks is coming in a couple of weeks and playing with Rick Springfield.
Oh my gosh,
Dr. Noah Drake, for those of you playing at home back in the day, Rick Springfield.
Gotta check
so that'll
that
be cool. Isn't
that Jesse's girl?
That's Jesse's girl.
Nice,
that's
Lauren.
Right.
Well done.
Also, for people out in the suburbs, the Pet Parade in LaGrange is Saturday morning. Obviously, fun to bring out your pets, but also, if you want to, it's superhero themed, so you can dress up like
that. I love that.
I know some people were texting in about that earlier, so it obviously brings out a lot of people. I love dogs and cats, so I would totally be
that's
down.
Totally up your alley.
I see Lauren with like a kind of a mix. Pit addresses Thanos. You know, she's not going to go for the easy superhero dog like Superman with the cape. She's going to go for like the conflicted villain.
Yeah, I don't know what I would choose. That would be difficult. I'd have to get maybe just 20 dogs to them all up in different things.
I just don't give my dog a cut. He's Chewbacca. He's miniature Chewbacca without
that's
a costume.
Perfect.
So
no costume needed.
That sounds like a blast too.
Yeah, and I guess if you want to look for a good run this weekend, Run for the Zoo is Sunday at Lincoln Park Zoo, so it benefits the zoo, but has like a 5K, a 10K, and a kids' race. Registration is about $39 to $60. It will close part of Stockton between Webster and LaSalle, but obviously you get to run through part of the zoo.
Yeah, I have a question about that, Lauren Labka. Will any of the zoo animals be participating, thus speeding up the runners? If you get a couple of lions, perhaps?
Yeah, let's hope not. If you do see a tiger running after you, that's not for motivation.
It's not part of the thing. And I know the cheetah is favored, as it is every year in that run for the zoo. Don't try to keep pace with the cheetah.
That's
the
thing. That's snow leopard. That guy looks fierce.
He looks ready to go, doesn't he, when you see him in there going.
Come on, run for the zoo. Make it a real run for the zoo. Giraffes to the left.
You know, that's the other interesting thing. I'm not a big runner. I've done some 5Ks yeah. for different causes and things like that. But this is you start seeing those, a couple of those every single weekend.
And you see the groups training, you know, like on weeknights, you know, getting up to speed. It's great.
Right. I know there is also a 5K. I don't know if you have this on the list, but I did a friend of the show, Paula Fasayas, there's a 5K for PAWS. At Montrose Harbor.
Oh, nice.
For Sunday, okay. So that's a cool one to
Lots of good stuff for the pups and the cats and everybody.
I know PAWS just adopted a bunch of storm animals.
Yeah, they just arrived, about
Oklahoma.
2 dozen. Yes, from
the
storm area.
So they've got a bunch of dogs that they're really trying to place. If that's in your plans, if you think that you're in a position where you want to adopt a pet, that's another thing to check out with PAWS. Mm. So go ahead, Lauren. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine. We only have a few other things. I'm trying to get through them also. I'm actually happy how quickly we've been. If you're a whiskey lover, they have the Whiskey X tonight at 6 p.m. at the Fulton Market. So you could try over 60 whiskeys, but it, of course, music, 50 sutras. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And other unique experiences. They didn't specify what that means.
If you try too many of those whiskeys, you'll have them on your own.
Well, yeah. But in it, of course, because it's over 60, it's $50 to $125 for a ticket, depending on what kind of ticket you get. So there's that.
And where is that one again?
That is over at Fulton Market.
Fulton Market. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with that.
And there is the Gospel Music Festival this weekend that starts tonight, or it started today, actually, this afternoon. So at the Cultural Center and Millennium Park, and there will be performances all day, each day, by some of the top gospel singers and groups in the country. Mm. So if you're a fan of that kind of music, or, you know, if you're a religious person, I'm sure you would enjoy it as well.
And that's when you can sit on the lawn, mm-hmm. you can bring stuff. I love those kinds of festivals in the city. We just sit out there, bring the picnic basket, the blanket. Very cool. Very chill.
Absolutely. And this is another very random one. I'll end on this note.
Okay.
The Body Mind Spirit Expo. So this is a big expo on Saturday and Sunday at Tinley Park Convention Center for advances in alternative health. So all things related to, I believe, essential oils, things like that. They also have psychics and mediums there. So if you're kind of into that, definitely go there. They're going to have some of the best people in that business there. And tickets are only $14, so not too bad.
No, not at all. That sounds like a really cool one.
And if you go to 35th and Shields, you can watch the Red Hot White
there
Sox this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Kevin's contribution.
That's my contribution to this.
Popped up like a whack-a-mole all of a sudden in there. What is that guy doing?
Ale Fest, nothing from Kevin. Whiskey Fest, nothing from Kevin. Nothing there appealed to you out of that entire list. Brew Fest,
Lauren did all the research. I was letting her do her thing. I had to get my one little sports thing in there.
Oh, that's great. Then that is absolutely true. And I like that Lauren mentioned a lot of these festivals starting tonight at 5, because you might want to get to some of these this evening, because it might be the nicest weather we're going to have all
weekend. It seems like it is going to be like the gorgeous night.
But also a lot of opportunity throughout the weekend to go, which is good.
I want to go to that thing with the psychics and the mediums and pay one of the psychics to be read by the other psychic and then another medium and see if they're all on the same page or if they start getting, you know, they get in a big psychic fight. I know what you're thinking.
Or see all of them and be like, well, so-and-so said.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's not what Madam Sampson said over there. She said I had a long lifeline.
Well, like fact check them. I'm sure they'd love that.
I always ask them to, like, you know, I always mention a dead relative who does not exist, and I see what they say. So I'll be like, oh, you know, my cousin Freddie was an amazing. Oh, Freddie wants me to let you know he's okay. And I'm like, there's no Freddie.
I sat behind my mom while she was getting a reading once, and they're like, and they did. They went in that direction of something that was totally wrong. And my mom's like, oh, really? She was too nice to tell them that it was not existent. It didn't happen. And I'm shaking my head like, no, that's not true. But some of them can be freaky good, too. That's the other part.
There was a great episode of when it was, I think, Regis and Callie, where one of the famous mediums was working the crowd there and just couldn't get anything from it. It was, and Callie was laughing her butt off because she'd be like, now you come from a military family. No, we were all anti-war protesters up and down the line.
Right.
Everything, you know. And a lot of times it's they got to get something like, oh, I see a dead grandmother. No, Grab's 97.
She's
still
fine.
Doing good.
Still you doing know? Great. Like, you're like,
thanks
oh.
for stopping by.
But you know how sometimes they read your answer, the ones who are not that particularly good at it, and then they sort of, they pivot very
quickly.
Well,
I do a cold read. I'll say like, okay, you know, a cold read is like, I'll say, okay, now, Anna, there wasn't somebody in your family, immediate family, who was military? What's your answer?
Yes, true.
Okay, there is. But if you said no, I'd say no,
I didn't. Oh my gosh, yes.
But if you say no, they go, no, I knew that. I didn't think that. I'm getting an L. Does anybody in your family have an L? Well, everybody has an L. But if not, they're like, that's right. I knew that was not true.
Or else they pivot and say, I see someone in uniform. Maybe not military uniform.
Yeah, and they go, well, my Uncle Joe's in prison. That's who I was thinking of. Orange. I'm seeing it clearer now.
You have an item that you connect to them that you hold every so often.
Yeah. You have something that, now I know your mother passed. Now, and I think you keep something in your bedroom to read. Yeah. Oh, I do. Oh, unless you're a monster. Of course you do. You know? I love that.
I do love that, too. That those are fun, though, when they have the
It is fun if you take it in the right spirit.
Right. Absolutely. That's true. So I'm trying to figure out what to do this weekend. Lauren, are you going to go to the superhero thing?
I don't know. I got to pick and choose some of these things here. To do. I don't have an actual pet at the moment, so I'd feel a little out of place at the pet parade.
You can borrow Richard's pet. Jaxie is so cute.
Yeah. Some of these dogs might freak out seeing some of these costumes.
Right?
These
elaborate costumes. Yeah, be kind. Don't do anything that's going to hurt your dog, pinch your dog, or scare your dog.
They don't like costumes, let's just be honest.
No, they don't. That's why I don't do that.
As a general rule.
I would like to see if anybody is going that's listening. Send in pictures.
Yeah, I would like to see some dogs.
I would love to see them.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on the other side here, we actually want to talk about, there's a new dating site for dog owners and dog lovers. And we want. I didn't know that was needed.
Smart.
But that is, really. It's out now.
It's called the Riverwalk. Hey, you got a dog too?
Dog parks is kind of the dating site for
dog owners.
Imagine
there was like a park where you would bring your dogs and they could run free and other people could also bring their dogs. That'd be incredible.
And then you'd meet them and you know that both of you like dogs.
It'd be almost like if they had a place where if you liked to have a beer and somebody else did and you could go to the same place and like sit at a long counter with stools and then someone would provide you with the beers.
That's it.
Wow,
that's
you
a
like
thing.
Things? I like things.
Yeah. You like things. I like things. Let's set up that app.
People who like things.
Me too. I like that too.
That and more coming up. Then we're going to talk to the guy who's got the solution for Asian carp. He's got an idea and it's genius. You're going to love it. Listen to him. That's coming up top five at five. And the Knarble Wagon rolls. Let's check in with Kim Gordon, though, see what's coming up top of the hour in the WGN radio news.
Even though the House has passed recreational marijuana, their work is still not done.
The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Richard Roper in for Ro today. So do we like the idea of Robert Pattinson officially Batman? Lauren, I saw you. You were telling us all about this. You're the one who saw this first.
I'm very conflicted because I think he has a lot of potential. He could be great, but he's Edward Cullen from Twilight.
You know, I think, and I agree with Lauren, there's that for people to get past because those movies were so huge. He's done a ton of movies after that. Most people I know haven't seen them, but I will say this. He's done some really good work in about a half dozen smaller films. And he certainly, I mean, you know, the original Bruce Wayne, right? He's supposed to be this handsome, dashing, young billionaire. So I think there's potential there. Well, even Ben Affleck said, it's the reason why he didn't want to do it anymore. He goes, I'm too old to be playing Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne's supposed to be, you know, anywhere between really about what, Lauren, 30 to 45, I would say.
But Robert Pattinson, he's one of those that became typecasted in my mind. You know how this happens to artists and actors?
Right.
He's Twilight guy for me because he just looks like a vampire.
Right, just like Daniel Radcliffe in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's hard to think
actor
of him in another role.
Who has worked really, really hard to get past that is Daniel Radcliffe. And they're both really good. Emma Watson's done some nice stuff.
She has.
I you know, with Pattinson, all of his other movies put together haven't made as much as one of the Twilight films. So the average fan, that's what they know. I think it's good casting. I always say, too, like when people get into casting, I'm like, you don't know. You know, you can't. I mean, look, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, people thought Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. There was a lot of people saying that scrawny guy. And he was brilliant as Tony Stark. And if you go way back to the early 1970s, nobody wanted Marlon Brando to play the Godfather. He was a washed up, you know, at that point, he's considered a washed up, past his prime. Nobody had heard of Al Pacino, really, and, you know, they didn't want him. So you could go back to Casablanca, where the studios were like, why would the leading man be this balding guy with a slight lisp? And it's Humphrey Bogart, who, of course, now you think, oh, perfect casting. Right, but you look at, he never would have got cast in that role, because, you know, he's with Ingrid Bergman, one of the most beautiful women that ever lived. Mm. And then, you know, he's very dashing, Humphrey Bogart, but he's, you know, he looks more like Paul Giamatti than Cary Grant.
He does.
You know?
Robert Pattinson, though, he's got those eyes are just so vampire to me. There's something about it. There's something about his look that it just feels, and I'm sure he'll fall into the role nicely. And it's one of those things I just did not see immediately.
Yeah, I might feel better when I start to see some teasers and trailers.
Right.
It really all depends on how well they write it and if Absolutely. You can really pull off the performance.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, the fans going nuts about casting, I'm like, first of all, you know nothing about how to cast films and TV, and you can go through, again, through the history of television and movies. If you just cast what the fans want, it would be terrible.
That
it's like,
would be.
It's like, Michael Jordan just wants everybody in North Carolina on his basketball team. How's that worked out for him? You know, you got it. You know, only after the fact do people say, oh my God, I can't imagine anybody else but blah, blah, blah in the role of, but that's not what happened when the movie, before the movie came out. People are always yelling about casting decisions. And I'm like, why don't you relax?
What has he done recently? Has he been doing work, or is he one of those things where he's truly had some trouble finding
work? No. He's done a Western. He did a movie called Good Time, where he played a kind of a manic guy. I mean, he's played Water for Elephants, which was a period piece. He's a really strong actor. And yes, in some of these movies, he's so good looking that you're like, oh, they smudged his little face. That's cute. But Bruce Wayne, again, as Lauren knows, like he's supposed to be a little bit of an arrogant, cold, aloof billionaire, right?
I mean, he has that look.
He does have that kind of arrogant, like icy cold look. I mean, he played a vampire. That's pretty cold.
What was that 9/11 movie he was in?
Oh, yeah. That was actually really good. I honestly can't remember the name.
So he's done a lot. The only other ones I've seen.
That's a great call. Yeah, that was one of the films he did right after Twilight. So good luck to Mr. Pattinson.
Good luck, Mr. Pattinson. We'll be watching. Coming up, we've got the founder of Colgan Carp Solutions. He's got a solution for the Asian carp. He knows how to get rid of them, and he knows where to put them. And he's going to tell us about that. Top 5 at 5 you won't believe, and much more coming up here this afternoon on WGN Radio. We've got the Carnarvon Wagon rolling, and much more coming up. Also, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two in Europe. Listen to win your way to Pox in Prague weekday mornings at 7:40 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Time for the news. Here is Kim Gordon. It's the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Thank you to all the listeners reaching out with the kind words for Ro. His father passed away, and a lot of people bringing the condolences. So I'm sure Ro will appreciate that, and we'll pass it along to him. We expect him back pretty soon. So we're thinking about you, Ro, and the listeners are too. Also, we just want to update our Robert Pattinson talk from earlier. We were saying that maybe Lauren and I were not sure about him yet as being Batman. And our listener says, don't you see the connection between vampires and bats?
Ah.
Thank you for noticing that connection.
Ro took his snare drum with him, or we'd be giving you the rim shot.
We use that at this moment. He took his bell, too. So all the plugs today are going to get on. We're not going to ring the bell. We have someone interesting on the show right now. And it's, we all know about the Asian carp problem. We don't want them in the Great Lakes. They're an invasive species. They could be a real problem for us. And there have been a lot of solutions suggested. But we have a local man, Brian Colgan, who said, you know, why not build a business around this, create local jobs? And he has at least one solution, possibly more, but one that sounds pretty genius around the Asian carp. And Brian, thank you for being on the show and talking to us. Let me see. Brian, can you hear us? You hear us okay, Brian?
Hello?
I don't know. We'll have to get to him in a second. Let's see if we can work on that.
Classic technical difficulty.
Yeah, right. It's the big board in front. Here we go. Brian, can you hear us okay?
I can.
Sorry about that. It took us a second to bring your sound.
He probably caught two more Asian carp in the time it took him to get him back on the line. Nice job, Brian.
Are you a fisherman? That's the first question. Mm-hmm. Are you a business guy? Or both?
No, I'm not. I spent the last 14 years working for government. So I developed this obscure knowledge base on Asian carp. So I was out in Washington, D.C., working for Congresswoman Judy Biggert. When I first got to know the fish, she was in charge of building three electric barriers in the I&M Canal to keep them from the lake. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of my entree to Asian carp, and it's kind of followed me throughout my career.
Well, that's the last we heard, Brian. We heard that they had the electric barriers up, and we were hopeful that they were going to work and they were going to keep them out of the Great Lakes, because we know how disastrous it would be if these these Asian carp would get into the Great Lakes. So are you thinking that, okay, we just have this big population we got to do something with that's in the streams and the channels leading up to the lakes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the public policy role, you're always looking at, government solutions. What can we do to enhance our efforts and keeping them out? But we kind of always would talk about, you know, we wish, you know, some entrepreneur or some folks would would really see Asian carp more as a commodity that instead of just an invasive species. And so, you know, there's a market out there if you're willing to look for it. And that's, you know, since I left government service in January, decided to kind of put my money where my mouth is and jump in and identify those markets.
Okay, so get to it. What is this solution that's making some headlines right now? You've come up with one idea in particular that sounds pretty cool. So tell us what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Asian carp as lobster bait. So we were looking around at, you know, what's going on in different markets and where could we enter. And a lot of people don't know, but there's a shortage of herring. And so the government regulator said, you know, you can't fish out a certain number of herring. There's a cap on the amount that you can fish. And herring happens to be the number one bait fish in Maine for lobster fishermen. Mm. And so that created a 70 million pound shortage of bait. And so it creates a good opportunity for us to take all the fish we have in Illinois and provide a bait solution to their problem. It's a win-win.
And you know, Brian, I would assume that lobsters will eat Asian carp, right? Because they're not that picky. Although people that eat lobster are kind of picky, but lobster. But do you know? Did you like get a little Larry the Lobster and go here boy with some
check
Asian
it out,
carp
and you did
make sure they like
out.
It?
Yeah, so they currently eat common carp and a bunch of other different fish. We are going to send some samples of the Asian carp in Illinois once Maine green lights everything, but. But yeah, I mean, they eat everything. They like oily, smelly kind of fish. They're bottom feeders, so we have them in abundance. So why not develop that market?
So it's you've talked to Maine fishermen. Have you researched that they would be willing to do that? So that part of it seems like you've got the demand side of it and you've got the supply side of it. So what's standing in the way?
So we have to connect all of those. Yeah, Maine, the fishermen are excited. You know, they're a little hesitant. They look at, you know, okay, Asian carp, what's this going to mean? But we've been talking to them a lot and making that work. Really, the big challenge is here in Illinois. We don't really have a commercial fishing industry that can support this type of demand. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my work has been, you know, problem solving. I've been doing that for 14 years, trying to work with them and come up with other solutions. So we have commercial fishermen who see Asian carp and it's crowding out other fish that they once could make money on. I'm trying to work with them more as partners and develop a co-op of fishermen that can work with me, do probably some profit sharing with those fishermen so that we can invest in them, because I need to build more of an industry instead of a business. The industry needs to support the demand. Mm-hmm. And so by investing in them, paying above market and helping them grow their businesses, I can scale up and I can hit, you know, that 20 million pound demand that we see Maine wanting out of Illinois today.
How do you fish for Asian carp in large numbers? Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a way to sort of do that?
Yeah, so they go out. They go out early in the morning. I've gone fishing with them. They lay their nets kind of in a U shape from the shoreline. And they make a ton of noise. We've all seen kind of YouTube gold moments of them jumping out of the water and hitting people. And they're afraid of loud noises. So they sit there with a metal bat on a metal boat, and they're hitting the boat, and they're revving their engines, and they're going, you know, on both sides of that and trying to scare them into the net. And so then a couple hours later, they pull it out. Yeah.
So, Brian, there's an actual guy with, like, a Louisville Slugger. Do they not know about the technique of recording things and just playing it on a speaker? Or does the guy just like to do that? I'll be the bat guy.
No, they're doing that. They're hitting the boat. They're doing whatever. It's so funny.
Here, Carpy. Yeah, I would just blast a little Slayer at them if they don't like loud metal.
Well, it's funny you say that. Actually, one of the strategies they're looking at, the Army Corps of Engineers, is testing, like, putting speakers in the water at locks and dams and making a lot of noise because it'll scare them away from the lake. So it's kind of funny. But, yeah, that's how they catch them. And they pull in probably in 4 hours. They can pull in, you know, 10,000 pounds of Asian carp in certain pools. So.
Can you imagine if you're just going by your pleasure craft and you see this giant barge where they're blasting out Megadeth?
And you're like, a bunch of fish jumping out of the water?
Yeah, it's like, is this a Godzilla movie? What is happening?
I would be freaked out by that, I would think. Have to kind of warn people.
You could do some music videos with that in the background. Make some additional money there. It's fun.
Can you bring us up to speed? How is the problem of the Asian carp How are things going with that? We haven't heard any updates in a while.
Yeah, so I think the good thing is, you know, they haven't really moved since 1991. They've gotten, you know, bigger in different areas. So they're always in the Dresden Island pool, which is just outside of Joliet. Mm. They've been there for a while. We have an amazing team over at Illinois Department of Natural Resources who work with, you know, federal agencies and everybody on a monitoring program. And so they do a lot of different testing to make sure they're not advancing. Illinois DNR, they identified, okay, commercial fishermen are a solution. Let's use them. And so they pay them through federal funds to remove Asian carp from that pool from Dresden Island. And they've removed since 2012, 93% of the Asian carp population in that one pool, which is the leading edge and kind of the front line between here and Lake Michigan. So they're doing a lot of good work. I want to take that and expand it. So if it's working here, let's continue going to different pools downriver and further push their spawning activity away from the lake. And if we can do that, it's a win-win. We sell a product, we create an industry, we keep Asian carp out of the lake, and I think, you know, everyone will benefit.
I love that. I really do. And are we worried about what they're doing where they are right now, or is the damage sort of minimal considering their current location of all the Asian carp?
Yeah, I mean, the damage is kind of done in those areas, but, you know, there's a lot of support up and down the river to remove them. You know, do whatever you can to get them out. And by, you know, taking our entrepreneurial spirit, embracing capitalism for all it's got, we can light a fire into this and say, you know, we'll remove and we'll pay you for it. And so, you know, the more we can remove, the better it'll be for everybody.
Awesome. Where can people find out more about your what you're trying to do and help if they can, I suppose?
Yeah, visit my website. It's www.colgancarp.com, and it's Colgan.
Colgancarp.com. We might have lost Brian.
Colgancarp. Oh, yep, colgancarp.com. That's me.
Because you've looked into number of solutions for them, from fertilizer to pet food and all kinds of things, and we all tried them in the human consumption. They were trying to market them as a fish to eat, and that didn't work out. So you've moved through a lot of different things before you got to this solution, and it seems like a pretty good one. So thanks for sharing your idea with us, Brian. We appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And fun fact, University of Illinois actually serves 1,400 servings of Asian carp in their dining halls every week.
Really?
So there are opportunities there. Yeah, there's tons of opportunities when it comes to Asian carp all over. And so eventually getting into that market, you know, getting into universities, the price point of Asian carp are below that of tilapia. So a lot of folks are looking at this, and now's the time, you know, get it into corrections, get it into universities, you know, use it to help solve childhood hunger. There's a lot of ways we can do that once we build an infrastructure, and, you know, we want to do all those things.
Awesome. Thank you, Brian Colgan, founder of Colgan Carp Solutions. We wish you the best.
Thanks, Brian.
Best of luck. Thanks for sharing the idea with us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
He wants to be the carp king.
Just fry and throw hot sauce on it.
Have you tried it, though, Kevin?
Trust me. There's not enough hot sauce in the world, Kev. It's not even for us, buddy.
Wow.
And they're like this spiny, bony fish, too. So getting the meat out of that whole thing is like a lot of work for really very little payoff.
I see. And I'm sure it's true because the lobsters are literally bottom feeders. But I see even some lobsters turning the whole chassis around in slow motion.
Where's the herring?
I'm good. And walking like 6 feet away takes 7 hours, you know, to walk away from the food. Then you just put the same food right in front of it, turns around again.
We're going to be eating a lot of skinny lobsters pretty soon. This is the problem. I don't know. Well, you know, hey, it might work, and I hope it does.
Might. I hope it does.
It puts people to work.
Times are tough for the lobsters.
Listen.
We're not feeling for them just yet. But anyway, that was a cool idea, so we're thankful to be sharing. Hope we do, too. We all do. Let's check in with Kim Gordon now. Find out what's coming up bottom of the hour in the WGN Radio News.
Chicago police have a new tool to stop drug deals on Chicago's heroin highway.
You can catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy, Saturday, 9 a.m., WGN-TV.
Meghan Markle says she's not going to meet President Trump, when he's in town. She's on maternity leave.
Oh, gosh.
Queen's going to meet Charles. You got the Harry and the William. They're all meeting, but not Meghan Markle.
I saw one of those channels that does the instant movies. They already had a love story of Meghan and what's his name, Timmy,
Harry?
Prince Timmy, Prince Harry. And it's amazing because the actress playing Meghan Markle, looks almost exactly like Meghan Markle. And I'm like, you know, 5 years ago, Meghan Markle couldn't have gotten the role of Meghan Markle. So God love her.
Go Cats. She's a Northwestern graduate.
That's right.
I love her for that.
I think she's great.
I do too. I think she's, you know, she's breaking some of the rules, and or at least changing the way the royal family conducts business. And I think that might be a little bit of a good thing. I think they need some freshening up in some areas, don't you think?
Definitely.
So that's she's a very modern. I guess she's a duchess, not a princess.
She's the duchess.
She's the duchess.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Does that mean like she reports to Dame Judi Dench because she's only a duchess?
I guess the queen at any point could elevate her status to princess or name her children to be, you know, prince or princess.
Oh, she won't even let Charles leave the house, and he's 80.
I know. When does
You're
he get
never
to be
going
king?
To be king. He's been waiting since 1966. Mommy, will this be my year? Shut up. Shut up!
Yeah, I never understand quite how.
Go ride your horses.
Where are my dogs? Those corgis are so cute.
They are,
love
the royal corgis.
Yes, but so that's not happening.
Okay,
so, but we'll keep you posted on those things. We're going to have a top five of five. You won't believe. We'll check in again on Springfield. A lot going on as they have that midnight deadline before they session ends.
Cool.
So I'm trying to put some things through. You saw that recreational marijuana did pass. It's on the governor's desk. He's going to sign it, so that's going to become law. January 1st is when that will start. You'll start seeing that in Illinois, recreational marijuana, legal. They've got the gambling bill. A lot of people wondering, is that going to get done? Some say it looks promising. It looks like it will. But we're going to check in and find out where that lies and what's going to happen with that. Would be the casino expansion.
That's fantastic. All the things that got you kicked out of high school are now big, are going to be big business. Yeah.
All the things to major in. 10 years ago, you'd be like, yeah, we can't do that.
Cousin you never spoke of who got kicked out of Bloom High School in 73 for smoking pot and throwing dice is now going to be, you know, the king of the state. It's fantastic.
So true. What could go wrong? But it's all seems like it's happening here in the state of
happening.
Illinois, and we're going to find out what's happening. Check in Springfield and see what they're working on. Then we've got top five of five you won't believe. A Knarble Wagon Rolls. Bryce Dallas Howard. Richard Roper scored an interview with her, and you'll hear about that as well. It's all coming up after Kim's News, and it's sponsored by AppleChevy.com. Here is Kim Gordon. It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper in for Ro today, as he's taking this Friday off. We've got some things to talk about. We have a lot going on in Springfield. There is the legislative session ends tonight at midnight, and there are a number of bills that seem like they're pretty close to passing that we want to bring you up to speed on. We saw recreational marijuana pass the House earlier this afternoon. Made its way to the governor's desk. Governor Pritzker indicates, of course, he's going to sign it. He's been part of the people, one of those on board from the beginning on this. Mm-hmm. And so that's on its way. We become legal here in Illinois starting in January. And that's on the way. We've got the gambling bill. We've got the graduated income tax that already passed. So that goes to voters in 2020, making it higher.
You think that, I know the marijuana thing is going to happen right at the beginning of the year, but wouldn't it be cooler if it were just 420? It should just wait till April 20th to do it, right?
It's a little late. It's 531. Is this the new day for it? I don't know. Let's check in with Amanda Vinicky. She knows. She's been covering these issues in Springfield. And Amanda, from WTTW, yes, I should say. That's, you know her, you love her from there. Amanda's been a busy day there in Springfield. What's going on at this time, this afternoon?
It's a bit of a wild day. In fact, it was supposed to be the final day of the legislative spring session, and instead, just a bit ago, one of the leaders in the House, one of the leading Democrats, said, nope, due to the sheer volume, instead it looks like session is going to be in through the weekend. And there's a lot of speculation as to what is going on there and why that might be, given, of course, that Democrats have full control of state government, the governor's office, super majorities in both sides. the House and the Senate, and not to mention, of course, also the state Supreme Court, not that that's necessarily irrelevant at this point in time, but it is busy. There had been an expectation that it would be going up until midnight, but again, now it looks as if we will be going past that and into Saturday and Sunday to deal with what they called the sheer volume of the workload that is still remaining here in Springfield.
Part of the workload is that gambling expansion, which would be the expansion, 6 new casinos for Illinois. You have sports betting and a number of other gambling establishments would expand.
Including one here in Chicago,
including
right?
one here in yeah. Chicago. One casino would be right here in the city. How does that stand right now? I know there was some pushback earlier. I think a lot of people were surprised that that one wasn't done already.
Right now, and actually I'm standing outside the Capitol in order to speak with you guys, getting some fresh air, but also better cell phone reception.
Thank you for that.
We have two concurrent committees that are going on. One is a House committee that is dealing with the budget overall, and then there's a Senate committee that is beginning to take up for the first time the gambling package, which would support spending on infrastructure. And so I'm not sure whether that's gotten out or not, because it hadn't felt like when I called in, but that is set to advance. And as you noted, I mean, this would be pretty huge gambling expansion, given all that it would allow in terms of additional gaming positions at existing facilities and those video gaming establishments that have popped up all over the place. And then, of course, that Chicago casino that Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot had wanted. It appears that that would not be city-owned, although the city would get more revenue than other municipalities that are slated to receive casinos under this new bill. So sports betting has been huge. Governor Pritzker said that he wanted it in the first place, and now it looks as if he will be getting it. And it does, however, sort of put these daily sports fantasy establishments in what's been called the penalty box. They won't be able to offer online betting right away, but those brick-and-mortar casino establishments would be able to. And so that those are kind of some of the intricacies there. I think some of the big questions are who all is going to support this. Right now, you're seeing a really big partisan rift when it comes to all of these measures, particularly in the House. It appears as if the Senate Republicans might be getting some more buy-in, but the House Republicans say that they haven't been included. They're not getting what they want out of any of these deals.
I lost Amanda there. But,
well, she was talking about how there are Democratic supermajorities, and you have one in the House and the Senate.
Yeah, if you're a
they
House Republican
Republicans.
Right now, you're walking around. I mean, you just feel like you might as well just go home.
Exactly.
Oh, there you are.
Don't need to stay for the weekend.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're good. And Amanda, I want to go back a little bit and talk about the casino. You said the city wouldn't operate it, so obviously they would bring in, or there would be bids from, you know, the professionals that run other casinos, and that probably is a smarter way to do it, actually.
Yeah, there have been a lot of questions as to, is city government? I mean, obviously, you look at what's going on with the indictment that came out.
I'm Ed Burke. Welcome to my casino. You know, yeah.
Is the city really going to be able to handle something
Great
like
question.
This?
Great question. I'm sure that they'll have to really figure out exactly who's involved with it, which has always been the issue, maybe that has stalled it in the past. I want to revisit the restaurant tax, because earlier this week we kept talking about it, even with you, Amanda, and it looked like it was going to go through to raise some money for McCormick Place expansion. They were going to broaden the boundaries, including all the way up to Irving Park on the north side and as far as 55th Street on the south side, and they were going to, you know, add that 1% restaurant tax, but that doesn't look like it's going forward anymore.
No, that one has stalled, and that happened. It rose really quickly. I mean, you saw the Senate committee and then the full Senate take that up, and everybody's like, wait, whoa. Maybe went out and got a meal or some wine, beer, what have you, pre-tax. And before they were done with it, it had gone away, and that was after Mayor Lori Lightfoot said no to it. She nixed the deal. She, of course, is super popular right now. We saw her at that first city council meeting this week really show what she is capable of, and that evidently filtered its way down to Springfield. Once she said no, the McPeer leaders backed off of it, and so no more will there be that tax. I do believe that there will be some additional bonding authority so McCormick Place can get its new building, but it won't be on the backs of all of those additional neighborhood Winers and Diners.
I think that was the issue. She said that the small business mom and pop type of place on the north side or on the south side, they're not exactly getting all the conventioneers. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have like a Thai restaurant in Irving Park, you might not necessarily be getting that much of the visitors, but you'd have to, you know, give very small margins. And, you know, the 1%, I think that they were worried they were going to lose business over it. And I think Lori was sensitive to that. So it looks like that one's going away. Anything else we need to know about the budget? I know that's a big item. I know it's not a sexy item, but is there anything we need to know about that before we let you go?
Well, yeah, I mean, I do just think that this part of that restaurant tax discussion comes because who knows what Lori Lightfoot, what the mayor will be proposing down the road when it comes to trying to buttress the city budget. But as the state looks to do that, there are a whole lot of revenue sources. We talked about gambling and casinos, and the infrastructure program counts on that, but it's also doubling the gasoline tax. Also, while the marijuana people, well, potheads, what have you, may be able to partake in that come January, those who still smoke cigarettes are looking at paying an extra dollar a pack. So there are certainly plenty of other revenue sources and tax increases that are on the table here in the Capitol, though some are no longer part of the equation. The governor had, for example, talked about a statewide plastic bag tax similar to what you already have in the city, and that isn't part of any of these measures. Like I said, we'll be watching really through midnight tonight to see what goes, because after midnight, things could get a little more complicated. You need 3/5 of the legislature versus just a simple majority to pass, say, a budget bill or anything that you want to take effect in really the calendar year 2019. And there are super, super majority of Democrats, so they can do it without any GOP votes. But we'd had a governor who promised bipartisanship, and I think we're going to be watching to see if any of that comes to fruition.
Quickly, the gas tax, is that, we have listeners asking about that. Is that one a gimme? Is that happening?
It appears to be going full steam. So, yeah, I would fill up your tank now. That would be increased to 38 cents, up from 19 cents a gallon.
Ooh, that's a steep. Oh, I didn't realize it was that high. All right. Well, do you have to stay in Springfield all weekend, Amanda? Is that because that's your job?
It's looking like it. I know. I'd had all these fun plans to hit up the Dude Division, the Mayfest, get that festival season going. But instead, wow, I'll be hitting up the Springfield Farmers Market, I suppose.
Yeah.
And soak in the charisma of Mike Madigan. Come on, Amanda.
Yes,
I mean,
yes, of course.
What's Mayfest compared to that?
Oh, my gosh. I feel for you.
Anyone's weekend, right?
Oh, Amanda, right. You do great work, and we really appreciate it. Have a good weekend as much as you can in Springfield.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. Yes.
You too, guys.
She's so funny.
Amanda Venicky from WTC.
She rattled off like 4 of Lauren's things to do this weekend.
She did. She had her
enjoy.
She was listening, and she was all stoked. And then the lawmakers, look what they did.
It happens.
Jeez. But yeah, it's interesting because we were talking earlier. It's like it used to, even like 10 years ago, can you imagine we were talking about legalizing marijuana? No, we could never do that. And gambling, expanding
it. They've been talking about a casino
so long.
Before we were in the news business, well
so
before
true.
That.
So true. And everyone says, it's immoral.
It's
we can't do that. No
and
way.
Now it's
and now it's
so
like,
mainstream.
How much is it going to generate?
And it's become such a mainstream thing, and I still believe it when I see it at a casino in Chicago, because we really have been talking about it. Richie Daly was talking about it. I mean, it goes long
Emanuel
before that.
Was talking about it. Yeah, you're right.
And they can't seem to pull it off. But maybe this is the time.
It might be. We'll see. We'll see what happens, and of course, we'll keep you posted here and in the WGN Radio News on all of the events in Springfield, as it seems to be a very busy night and a busy weekend. Speaking of the news, let's check in with Kim Gordon and see what's coming up at the top of the hour.
More legal wrangling today over the Jussie Smollett case.
It is The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper in today. Ro's taking the day off. Did you see the spelling bee? The National Spelling Bee? Something happened this year that has never, ever happened before.
Did James Holzhauer win it?
Isn't he? He's a freak of nature, too.
Jeopardy James win the spelling bee?
He's winning everything. What is he on now? He's $2 million.
He's within about 2 games of defeating Ken or besting Ken Jennings in lifetime earnings.
Oh, in earnings.
Over $2 million. Yeah.
Because I think
about
in terms
half
of
as many
the
games.
Number of shows he's won, he's far away from him.
Yeah,
but
he's
half, winning
half,
more
fewer than
per
half
show.
As many shows, he's going to top the money record because he's winning, you know, he's playing $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 per day.
My gosh, there's something.
And so what happened? But he wasn't at the spelling bee.
Okay, he was not a spelling bee candidate because he would not. He would age out of it, I think. Mm. We've got 8 champions this year. 8. Because the spelling bee competition ran out of words in an epic 3-hour-long final. They ran out of words.
How do you run out of words?
Edgy or C-type stuff. The drama that was unfolding in this was just incredible.
Well, they come up with the predetermined, though. They look so nervous.
They don't just randomly select the words. In other words, they don't just have a dictionary. So, well, no, Lauren's asking a legitimate question. How do they run out of words? Because believe it or not, I was in this nonsense when I was a little tyke 1 year.
You were?
But yeah, so there's a ton of words, but obviously there's degrees of difficulty and there's a lot that goes behind that. So when they got to the end, they've never come close to getting to the end before. Mm-hmm. And these eight were still alive and kicking.
In the 100-year history, nearly 94 years of the competition, it ended in an 8-way tie. They each get $50,000 because they ran out of words.
I got a trophy when I was in it.
Yeah,
I was in the Illinois. Like, I made it pretty deep, past state, and then it was right around Little League season. So I was really bummed, but then I broke my arm. So they're like, "Oh, good, you can participate in the spelling bee." And I got knocked out by Pollyanna. That word still haunts me to this day. Pollyanna was the word.
That was my word. Hypocrite.
Is there a trick? Hypocrite. You remember that? Oh, so you'll remember it for the rest of your life. Mine, isn't that weird? I remember it too. Marionette. I went on instead of O. I went A. Mm-hmm.
I was on stage at the time too. It was me and nine little girls. I was the last boy standing because girls are way smarter than boys. We know.
And Pollyanna, what's the trick on that Pollyanna. One? Am I missing something there?
It's capital P O L L Y A N A.
Oh, what? Just one N?
Double. I thought there was a two N's.
It is two N's.
Oh,
A N N A P O L L Y.
So what did you guess? How did you get that one wrong?
Well, I asked for definition, and they mentioned the character from George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion or something. I'm like, well, that doesn't help me at all. and I did. I went with one L, so I had it. Pollyanna.
Pollyanna. That should have been your clue to your career, Richard.
It was. at that point, I then told myself, I will read the works of everyone.
Yeah. There. We have a little audio from this epic spelling bee.
Auslaut.
Auslaut. Can I have all the information?
Sure. Auslaut is a noun that consists of two German elements. It means the final sound in a word or syllable. The speller deftly ignored my hilarious sentence and focused with razor precision on the Auslaut of her word.
Yeah. Auslaut. Can you repeat the origin? Oh.
It's German, dude. Come on.
It's made up of two German elements. Auslaut.
Auslaut. A U S L A U T. Auslaut.
You are correct.
Of course, right.
I love it when the judges have their little humorous sentences. You know, use it in a sentence. You know, the vicissitudes of climbing the mountain left me exhausted vociferously. It's like, shut up.
Did you, little Richard, were you asking for the origin of words and all that?
I never got that far, did you?
Yeah, it never helped.
You just said it.
But I was never at this level. They'd be like, well, back then, too, you know, you got a bunch of guys that looked like Matthew McConaughey and Dazed and Confused were reading the questions to us, so it wasn't like, you know, they'd be like, dude, come on, let's move it along here, you know?
Dude, give him that word. It looks trippy.
Definition. I go, give me a definition. Like, you give me a definition, you know.
How about bougainvillea? Anybody?
Oh, that's like the
flower.
The flower, yeah.
Anybody got that one?
Bougainvillea, sure. It's exactly how it sounds. I always just got that.
Kevin, why don't you take a stab at bougainvillea?
Well, I have a list in front of me, so I'd be cheating. So I'll go bougainvillea.
You're just looking at it. That's not fair.
I know, but you asked for it, so I gave it to
you. He said he had the list in front of him.
So.
You have the whole list of
and
all
yet,
the words
even with
all
the list
of them?
Even with the list in front of him, I bet after five or six words he'd get one wrong.
Yeah, he probably would. Well, I have the final words. There was the final.
Okay, how about your furnace? Do you have that one? Your furnace. You have that too?
I don't think I have that one, no. Unless it's just completely spelled differently than it sounds.
Nope, you're finished.
Like, it's just the final eight words I have. That's all.
Oh, was that bougainvillea was one of the final words?
Yeah, for sundown.
So the eight kids, they just said, that's it. You're the eight champs, the co-champs.
These are words that are never used ever.
Well, they get so deep. They absolutely
Vraic. It's a seaweed found in the Channel Islands where it's collected and burned for manure.
This is what...
That's one of the words.
See, that's what my problem with the spelling bee is.
Why do we need to know that?
This is what my problem with the spelling bee has always been about, because these kids study, like one of the kids said, he studies every single day and then 10 hours a day on the weekends. And I realized you learn a lot of things that might not have practical applications, but you do learn things and it does sharpen your mind. And this is all about memorizing the spellings of words. I don't know necessarily that obviously they're all incredibly smart kids, but I don't know necessarily that the discipline of the spelling bee, it seems very dated. Our friend Neil Steinberg over at the Sun-Times once wrote a book about very interesting behind the scenes things, and he did a whole thing on the spelling bee. They actually have what they call the crying room at the spelling bee. It's a true story.
Oh.
Where the kids go to break down in absolute, you know, fits of exhaustion and weeping after they've been knocked out. It's called the crying room. And well, adults are monitoring this thing. So that's the other thing too. It's like, I just don't, I mean, let the kid go out and play some lawn jarts. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? A little, you know, maybe a little injury or something. Slip and slide,
eight
right?
Champions. Classic, everybody gets a participation trophy yeah. culture.
And $50,000. And, you know, it's interesting. Well, we have a little more from the spelling bee here. Let's listen to that.
Erysipelas is an acute febrile disease that is associated with intense local inflammation.
Now, why are they having the kids know about that?
That shouldn't be on there.
Hemolytic streptococcus.
Use it in a sentence. When your father was in the military.
You can get this in college, kids.
Greek.
Erysipelas, are there any alternate pronunciations?
Oh, gee.
God, we wish, but no.
Erysipelas.
Stop saying that!
Ew! Ew! That shouldn't be on there.
E-R-Y-S-I-P-E-L-A-S. Erysipelas.
Stop saying that. You know, that I think Lauren knows that was one of the forgotten villains in the Marvel Universe. Erysipelas.
Yeah, definitely. They do always look
you
so...
You have to go to a clinic after he swept into your town.
Well, remember the one kid, the poor kid fainted? He was so stressed out on the
stage. They look so stressed. I can't watch that because they look so... And then when they don't make a word and they're kind of close to the end, they really look like they're about to pass out. I mean, they just look stressed out of their minds.
It gets ratings. That's the other thing.
Does it?
It actually does.
Who airs it? I thought that was like
an online
thing.
I used to be on ESPN. I don't know if it still is.
Yeah, they
still care.
Top seven play, top 10.
Any sort of a live competition, all
right?
TV networks are battling for that.
They got darts, they got axe throwing, they have hatchet throwing now on TV all the time. Like, you know, those novelty bars you go to.
Yeah.
That's a sport. And most of it consists of the guy walking to the target and trying to get his hatchet out of the target again.
How many channels are there, ESPN?
Oh, there's so many. I want to see the spelling bee and the hatchet toss combined.
To see them both do both. Like, the hatchet guys go over and spell a word.
You got to be a hatchet tosser and a speller. Yeah, one hatchet guy.
Because I can't imagine
and bags, as you guys know, which is a huge White Sox thing. You know, that's a competition. That's a sport.
That's a sport.
And they wear jerseys. Like, not White Sox jerseys.
No, they
wear
don't.
Bags jerseys.
We got one more soundbite here from
the
spelling bee.
Bougainvillea.
Bougainvillea. Now the definition, please.
A vine of a small genus of ornamental tropical American woody vines with brilliant red or purple floral bracts.
Bougainvillea. Can I have all the information, please?
Bougainvillea. 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 Is a noun formed in Latin from a French name. It is a vine of a small genus of ornamental tropical American woody vines with brilliant red or purple floral bracts. Aaliyah realized that if she just wore a flower crown made of bougainvillea, no one would notice her extremely ill-advised decision to give herself bangs.
Bougainvillea. B-O-U-G-A-I-N-V-I-L-L-E-A. Bougainvillea.
Do they just ask for all that stuff because it helps stall?
Yeah.
Or do they really get
bit.
Something from that?
I feel like that guy reading the sentence does a lot of, like, 50 Shades fan fiction in his spare time. His little sentence.
Like, sentences. Who are these people?
Yeah, I would love the job to write the sentence.
He sounds like
the sentence
Ned Ryerson guy. Ned Ryerson? Phil Connors?
Use streptococcus in a sentence.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. We're going to take a break here. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two in Europe. Listen to win your way to Pucks in Prague weekday mornings at 7:40 on 720. WGN Chicago, Cars for Kids. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. We have a top five of five you won't believe coming up. But right now, time for the news. Here's Kim Gordon. It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper here with us on this Friday as the Carnarvon wagon is set to roll just minutes away.
Oh, I saw it out there. They're giving it a nice polish. It's getting all set. You know, the pit crew's around all four tires, almost ready to roll it in.
A lot of work goes into the Carnarvon wagon. People do not realize this. But I did want to, Kim, I wanted to circle back with you and ask you about something in the news. You just spoke about Kim Fox is going to release records this afternoon.
Over 2,000 pages of documents relating to the Jesse Smollett case. We don't know what time at this point, but she says she's planning to release them tonight.
Did she explain to you why on a Friday after business hours and a beautiful night in Chicago that she decided to do it then? Did she say that?
No, it doesn't say that in the press release.
Classic Friday night news.
Interesting. Very interesting. So we've got some reading materials for the weekend.
There will be some weekend reading when you want to sit outside in the sun on a beautiful day. Just print out your 2,000 documents.
Right. I'm sure a lot of people will do that, and that's exactly what she expects people won't do. So interesting. So today, also, the judge was ruling about a special prosecutor in that case, too. But they're going to, I guess, they push the date forward.
So he wants to think about it for a few more weeks. So they are going to be back in court, I believe, is June 21st.
Okay. And that prosecutor would determine whether things were handled properly. By Kim Fox's office? Okay.
But we're waiting. That's also on hold for a little bit.
It's all going to be okay. Mm-hmm. Richard, don't you worry. Okay, Richard?
I'm not.
I know. You're not worried about it. Why would you be
worried? I'm good
about
with it?
You're okay. All right. You're at peace. Well, then let's begin. Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay, we'll do just that. Checking in.
Number five.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot called on longtime Alderman Ed Burke to resign at a news conference this morning after a federal indictment came out against Burke yesterday. She called for Burke's resignation, an immediate resignation, after a federal grand jury handed down that 19-count indictment against the longest-serving alderman, once very, very powerful alderman. Alderman Burke and his top political aide were named, both of them, as defendants in a federal bribery case against Lake Forest developer Charles Quie. The racketeering and bribery charges against him accuse Burke of using his position, his political clout and power and position, as finance committee chair to solicit and extort business for his private tax law firm.
Let me start out by saying, obviously, Alderman Ed Burke is entitled to an absolute presumption of innocence of the criminal charges. But the standard by which public servants should serve is different. All public servants, particularly elected officials, are rightfully judged by a different set of standards. We all must serve with integrity and legitimacy, and we have to have the moral authority to be able to govern.
She doubled down on it with a tweet just 2 hours ago, the mayor did, saying this is a sad day in Chicago. He does not, Alderman Burke, I should say, does not have the moral authority to be able to govern. In order to restore trust in government, he needs to resign. She says he should step down. I mean, I guess the opposite, the opposing viewpoint would be his ward elected him, and he's innocent until proven guilty.
She's like the mayor of Gotham City her first week, though, man. She's not messing around.
I mean, a powerful guy, and she's taking names. She's not afraid to stand up to him.
She's not afraid to stand up to anyone.
Or anyone. We have a bonus cut here.
It should be the cautionary tale that our mothers teach us when we're young children about right and wrong. But clearly, sometimes power intoxicates people and makes them lose their way and their North Star. But this indictment, I think, is very different. I've scratching my head, and I was a part of the prosecution teams that handled the civil shovel cases, which were the last big indictments that touched city council. And looking back at the variety of those cases, there was nothing like what's been alleged by the U.S. Attorney's Office in this superseding indictment. It is just a degree different and more serious and more wide-ranging.
Yeah. And many say there are more names to be named and indictments to come out because of the number. You think about the sheer volume of hours of tapes that the feds have over 2 years, probably going back even farther than that. Thousands and thousands of tape recorded phone messages overhears on lines recorded by Alderman Solis, Burke, and some of the most powerful people in the city. And you wonder who else, you know, what other names we're going to hear. But it's the feds are taking their time. And for his part, Alderman Burke says that these are unfounded allegations, and he's going to fight his case in court. Let's check in at
number four.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he blasted Twitter in a conversation with Don Cheadle and said he doubts that President Trump would have become president without Twitter. as he reflected on contemporary culture and the internet age. He said there are so many different sources of truth that no one knows what truth is anymore. He brought up Twitter specifically.
Trump, without Twitter, probably would not have become president,
right,
which is why Jack Dorsey is in the White House having a meeting with Trump.
Right. Where they can't get rid of extreme right Twitter accounts because it might affect some of the Republican base.
Exactly. So, you know,
we have to keep that on there. Sorry,
yeah, guys. So what's fascinating about that is, you know, he's sitting opposite the president, who is actually the biggest celebrity endorser of his corporation.
That's right.
And, you know, Jack Dorsey and Twitter cannot implement any restrictions against white supremacists or racists.
Because it might affect their big cash cow.
It will affect that cash cow and also their whole business model.
Good points, but I find it is kind of interesting that the guy who's made most of his career impersonating various politicians and other figures and putting
and
out like kind of a false
things.
Narrative, and doing TV specials and movies out of it, is now saying, we don't know what the truth is anymore. It's like, well, you're the one that did Borat and all those other things.
Right.
Made a whole career out of going out there and presenting yourself as someone who you're not. Now you're mad about, we don't know what the truth is anymore. Tasha.
And he's known to say an incendiary thing or two. Isn't that
I mean?
Also
that's,
what he's
but
built
that's his
career
whole thing.
On?
It's like, you know, in his latest series, you know, he had these like six characters that weren't real people going out pretending to be real people and duping people into looking stupid.
Duping people, you're
and
right.
And he's like, well, we don't know what the truth is anymore. By the way, my new characters where I bend the truth will be coming out next year.
And all the people who fell for my non-truths will be featured in it. Yeah, it's interesting because you know, Jack Dorsey of Twitter has been asked about this so many times. And he says, we already know as an organization, the people who work here have a bias toward being left. And we try to, look at the lens through that lens at Twitter and who uses it and just only outlaw those who cross lines of hate speech or harassment or going after people in horrific ways. But it's hard because there's also a freedom of speech issue there.
Well, it's
too,
overall
right?
It's such a huge thing. But as we know, both Twitter and Facebook are dragging their heels on a lot of things because the truth is they want as many people on there as possible. So we saw that with the Nancy Pelosi video.
And the
video
president's got to be good for business.
You know, the,
I mean, it's 50 million followers.
Yeah, but the Nancy, well, however many are real, and that's another story. But the Nancy Pelosi video was clearly doctored. Everybody knew it was. And the first thing they said was, this video has been proven to be, you know, not true by certain organizations, other, you know, claiming it. It's like, no, it's phony.
Everyone
knows
that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know, it's a tough line to walk. We have, let's take a break here, find out what's happening in the news coming up at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll check in and do your three, your two, your one at the top, in the top five at five, and then the Knarble Wagon rolls. Kim Gordon, let's head over to you now and see what's coming up.
Yesterday, it was Chicago police. Tonight, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox's office will release documents in the Jesse Smollett case.
Hey, tonight, The Weeknd starts on WGN-TV. The Red Hot White Sox hosting the Tribe as the Southsider trade swings with Cleveland. Tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
All right, it's The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Richard Roper, in today on this Friday. Hope you're having a good Friday. We're in the middle of the Top 5 at 5, and right now we are checking in at
number 3.
First Blood.
You know it. You would. Sylvester Stallone's Rambo debuted in 1982.
Yes.
Gosh. First Blood, and later headlined 1985's Rambo First Blood Part 2, 1988's Rambo 3, 2008's Rambo, nearly $728 million later at the box office. He's back to dispense more lethal justice. The Vietnam vet wields all kinds of weapons to fight back in a Rambo Last Blood trailer that just dropped.
I've lived in a world of death. I've watched people I've loved die. Some fast with a bullet. Some not enough left to bury. All these years I've kept my secrets. But the time has come to face my past. And if it comes looking for me, they will welcome death.
Ooh. It's over, Johnny! Over!
I watched First Blood last night. True story.
Get out.
It was because you know when like they released the trailer, like all the old ones come out on the cable.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
First Blood
in time
was on.
For this.
Then I went to bed and woke up and the same channel was
nothing
on.
Was over. Nothing. And, you don't just turn it off. It wasn't my war.
And then Part Two was on right when I woke up this morning. I'm like, this is awesome.
The first one was actually
really good.
Very serious film, and it was a lot about the guy having PTSD, the Rambo character. And then he by the end of the series now, he's like Superman. Yeah, nothing can kill him.
I enjoyed First Blood when he managed to blow up the entire town at the end, spoiler alert, with like one can of gunpowder.
I got pulled over just for walking across the bridge. What do you want, Kev? They're profiling me as a hippie.
It is sort of weird how it starts. It's like, get out of our town. He's like, I'm going to kill everybody.
They wouldn't let him come back into the town because he was a straggler, a wanderer, a vagabond, a hobo,
out of here,
a bum.
Hippie, weirdo.
Next thing you know, he's in the forest picking off the city officials.
Carving
kind of overreacting there, First Blood. But, you know, we were talking a little bit yesterday about this. Between Rocky and Rambo, Stallone has had two of the hugest franchises. I think only Harrison Ford, with Indiana Jones and Han Solo, has probably had two characters that have grossed more millions upon millions at the box office.
And you think about the time span, though, too.
1982. Yeah.
It's incredible. That it just
this is the last one.
How do you think a movie like that will do? It's been so successful that...
It will do well. It'll not be a huge hit, but it'll do well.
The last one until Son of Rambo.
Hey, that's right. They're going to try to figure out a way for Michael B. Jordan to be his adopted son just so they can follow the Creed model.
Oh, my gosh. Well, good luck to him. I like
Rocky Rambo. The two characters meet.
I love it.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? I'm doing all right. Hey, you know.
I'd watch that.
I'd
totally
watch that, too.
All right, checking in. Where are we? We're right here. Number
top five.
Number two. Thanks, Orion. Yeah. Bryce Dallas Howard. She stars as Elton John's late mother, Sheila Fairbrother, in the biopic Rocket Man. And she had time to sit down with we love him, Richard Roper, our own Richard Roper, to promote the film. And she talked about a moment when her mother visited her while shooting the movie.
It was really wild because I'd never done prosthetics like that on my face, and my mom happened to be around and she was able to come by the test, and it wasn't looking right. The prosthetics weren't looking right. Mm-hmm. And she stood next to me, and she's in her mid-60s and hasn't done anything to her face, and we looked in the mirror and realized that we weren't giving me nearly enough freckles.
She seems so down to earth.
Yeah,
she really does.
The look of her mom on her mom.
Yeah. Well, she, you know, it's interesting because she grew up in Hollywood with her dad, and it just seems like, I don't know, she just seems surprisingly down to earth and very talented. I'm a really big fan of everything she's in. So I know you have a sit down with her. You interviewed her, and we're going to hear more.
Rocket Man opening this weekend. It's in theaters as we speak. 3.5 stars. Please go check it out, folks.
And some say even better than the Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, they enjoyed it even more. Oscar-winning Bohemian Rhapsody. So it'll be interesting to... I'm dying to check out that movie. It's one on my list for this weekend.
Good.
We are down to our very last...
Number one.
DJ Paris Hilton.
Stop.
Wait a minute. Is that a misprint?
No, that's,
I didn't know. She's a DJ?
That's her DJ name. Very creative.
Okay. Whatever she wants.
DJ Paris Hilton.
So very clever name.
Paris Hilton.
Put DJ in front of my name.
She does everything. Mm-hmm. She dropped her 8th single. Oh my gosh. I didn't know she had 7 others.
Wow, yeah.
Did we know this?
Let's name the other 7.
Oh God, am I allowed? You say this one. She's her 8th single.
Best Friend's Ass.
Okay. Very deep. With producers Dimitri Vegas and... Like Mike.
Oh, I love those guys.
I do too. And now the music video with her apparent BFF Kim Kardashian West has arrived. Let's listen to the single. Let's hear it.
That bouncer was so hot, but honestly, that's not an excuse to be rude.
Literally.
What promoter are you with? As if I even need a promoter to get into this club.
No, like literally, you don't deserve that.
Why isn't my phone charging? Do you need a pee?
Yeah, I have to pee. Right, let's go.
Walking VIP, don't need no drink. Sick is buddy, I got money, milk and honey. All my bitches acting funny like, They popping bottles like, They on my body like, They got the tab and they call me bad, but all I see is... Boys everywhere trying to make a pass, but I can't stop looking at my best friend's ass. boys everywhere, trying to make
it.
So the narrator of the story is in a group situation, yet feels conflicted because she's actually attracted to her friend, and she, no matter what other issues she's coping with in her life, she can't help but continue to be interested.
What an excuse for this.
No, I'm interpreting the literary meaning of it. By the way, is she trying to make fun of young club goers? Because she's 38 now. Yeah. So now all of a sudden, it's like she's playing the part of the vapid millennial, but it's like you were the princess of that.
How do you keep that going?
No, I don't think she's making fun of it. I think that she legit lives in that world, and I hate that this has become so popular. Why? Okay, I know why she's famous, but why are people like her in her attitude and Kim Kardashian famous? It makes me so angry.
Why is my phone charged?
The beautiful lyrics.
Anybody got a rhyme for phone charge?
You connected to that?
Loan barge, tone large, phone charge and phone charge rhyme.
Very deep lyrics. I wish we had more time to hear other singles that she's released, because
I like the Arnold's rap better. I like Arnold's rap better.
Arnold's
than
rap was pretty weak too, I would just say. But that is going to wrap things up for us, and I think it's perfect time to get out. Thank you. Let's hear that. Actually, there it is.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, and one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
You have to think outside the box. I say no pain, no gain. I don't wanna hear it can't be done. Give always something back. My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll be back.
Get to the chopper!
Maybe he is better than Paris Hilton at the rap thing.
My favorite part about that rap is when he says, "My name is Arnold Schwarzenegger." We know.
We get it. We understood who that was. But hey, it's Friday and the Carnarvon wagon is rolling. Thank God it's Friday. We're very excited about that. And I'm surrounded by Southsiders right now, and I don't like that. But that's okay. You guys are cool guys. I know that. I am a Northsider, and we are very happy to have two very important Southsiders with us. Jonathan Swain is the founder of the Hyde Park Brewfest going on this weekend in Hyde Park, been going on for a few years here. And we also have Nick Lubavitch, the local brew historian from Argus Brewery, one of the fine breweries featured at Hyde Park Brewfest. So cool to have you guys here. Thank you for being in.
No, thank you for having us.
Tell us about the Hyde Park Brewfest, because it's music and beer, two of people's favorite things.
It's music, beer, food, and celebrating a great Chicago neighborhood.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. How'd you decide to start it?
So I own a local liquor store in Hyde Park called Kimbark Beverage Shop.
You've been there?
Okay, great.
Absolutely. Marvelous. Cool.
So that's been in my family for over 40 years.
That's awesome.
And so thank you. And so as the craft beer movement some years ago was taking off, we saw that there was opportunities to do craft beer samplings and get people to expose themselves to the beer. Because, you know, with all these different new beers coming out at the time, you know, the best way you can know what you like is tasting it yourself. And so we started doing that. And then as time progressed, we recognized that, you know, the South Side really didn't have any really big street festivals. And like you do have on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea was to say, hey, why don't we let this craft beer sampling be an anchor of a great Chicago street fest on the south side.
Love it.
So that's how we got started.
That is awesome. So now it's probably grown over time as these things do. And I know I see people on social media talking about it like it's this weekend, guys. Come on out. It's pretty big.
Yeah, it has. We started 6 years ago with 500 people at small sampling, and it's grown. Last year was 50,000 over 2 days.
How many breweries?
The breweries were probably about 45, I think, that we ended up with.
Uh-huh.
And you know, our festival is not just a festival where you go and you have to pay to get in to be in the fest. It's you come to a free street fest with great music, great food, celebrate the neighborhood, and then if you want to sample beer, you can.
I love that. Love that.
So
that's the approach. I love that.
That is a good approach.
All inclusive, and you know, hey, if you're here, you want to have some beers, that's cool, but we're not going to hit you at the door.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool.
And when you first started, it was just your brewery, and it grew this many. Or
no. We started
when
We started with a lot of local breweries.
Oh, okay.
You know, folks that wanted to, and this is kind of when you know the Bruce beer sampling kind of movement started and was growing. It's probably 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we started with a small group, and that you know, folks that were kind of just with us, and folks like Argus, you know, because we want to celebrate Chicago beer. We have some folks outside Chicago, but we want to celebrate Chicago beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a small business owner, so I want to celebrate small business, and breweries are small businesses. So in all the ways we can do that. And then we want to celebrate, and when we can, Southside folks, because you know Southside sometimes gets a little not as much love as they would
we
like.
We forget
to.
About you guys sometimes. Mm-hmm. We do.
Believe that.
Richard,
that's why we're so proud to be the radio home of the Chicago White Sox right here at AM 720.
From the man who was singing at a Cubs musical last night, but we won't get into that in front of your
Sox
fellow Southsiders, okay?
Yeah. But is this actually true? Is the Biz Markie going to be part of the fest this year?
He will. Biz Markie on Sunday will be spinning, will be DJing, so we're excited to have him come in.
Just a Friend, 1989, went all the way up to number one, I believe.
Oh.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny
you
because
say he's just a friend.
Because everyone knows of him because of that.
But he's done so much.
He's done
yeah,
a whole lot
right.
of other things. And, you know, he's an incredible DJ, too. So we're excited to see him
on
the
He's a Chicagoan?
No, he's not Chicagoan.
Okay. No, but we allow him.
But the fest is so huge that even Biz Markie's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had Jazzy Jeff come in. And he headlined for us, and so now we're just expanding to other folks and
That's
letting
awesome.
Him come in and have a good time.
Jazzy Jeff is basically the Dunkelman. Well, remember there were two hosts on American Idol, Ryan Seacrest and Dunkelman,
uh-huh.
and then there was Jazzy
was
Jeff had sort of the same thing. I don't know what ever happened to his partner. I don't know if he ever went on to do anything, but but he's actually really talented and has carved out a good career as well.
Absolutely.
And I'm so glad to hear all of this, Jonathan, that, you know, you, again, celebrating one of the great, great neighborhoods, not just in the city, but in the entire United States is just such a great thing. And I didn't realize that was your liquor store, too.
Yep.
You guys, 53rd. You're on 50, are you on 53rd?
Yep.
Sorry about trying to use that fake ID back in 77, but when you guys started.
I'm
by.
Nothing of the sort.
That doesn't matter.
No. I'm just kidding about that, by the way. But yeah,
I don't know what to speak.
But somebody's got to start this, and thankfully you did, because it seems like it's grown and it's appreciated. We want to talk to Mr. Argus Brewery over here, the local brew historian
what's
at Argus.
What's up?
Nick is in the house.
Argus Brewery in
I
the house.
It.
I have some beers for you folks
to
try as well. And I see Richard already trying our Pilsner.
I know. I'm sorry about that. I sneaked a little look at the Pilsner. And thanks for, Nick knows I'm mostly a Pilsner guy, so thanks for knowing that. And I want to shout out to a Riverdale guy back in the day, Dalton Riverdale.
Oh my gosh.
And before we get to all the beers, I got to ask you a little bit about Argus Brewery, because I'm told it's like you guys are in the stables where they once brewed Schlitz.
Yeah, we're in the old Schlitz.
So
Joseph
cool.
A. Schlitz, right?
Yeah, Joseph
or
E. Schlitz.
E. Schlitz. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So this is actually our 10th year in business.
Nice.
So we've been brewing since 2009 on the south side in the old Schlitz horse stables in historic Pullman.
So
it's a pretty cool place to call home, you know.
What is it? So what does it look like in there? Have you tried to preserve some of the character of the way it looked?
We have
obviously,
an elevator that,
years
I kid
ago.
You not, is the size of this room.
Oh.
To actually draw horses up. And it was a 2-horsepower elevator. Horses would actually walk down the alley, and that's what lifted the elevator up and down. So pretty pretty cool place.
That is neat.
I totally love that. So do you have like a lot of like retro kind of history on the walls and
our,
things like
our
that?
Our place is actually stuffed and jammed packed with history.
Mm-hmm.
So we give our tours on Saturdays, and that's when everybody can kind of come in and drink some of our beers and check out some
that.
Of
our beers. How come we haven't done that yet?
We're going to. Summer project.
I sent a live broadcast from Argus Brewery.
I totally feel
speaking
like
our language.
That's an outing for the crew. I mean, we're not shy about that, so we'll take your card on the way out. Anyway, so it's very cool. Your local brewery, and people are loving you locally, but I imagine you're also distributing all over the place.
Yeah, so we're carried throughout Chicagoland area, and one of our favorite places for me personally to do tastings is actually at Kimbark Liquors. So the start of summer for us is always Hyde Park Brewfest. That's when we know that you know the summer's about to turn up.
Oh, I love it.
And we show up and pour some beer and have an absolute blast.
You guys are like a superhero duo.
I love that.
So,
in the Marvel universe, right? Well, yeah, we'll post some pictures later. We'll get pictures with the guys. So, do we have time in or do we have to break? Because I want to try some of these. Can we try a few of these?
Let's start. Let's do it.
Okay. Absolutely. So, the lightest one that we have right there is the Polish Pilsner. And that's actually our Ed Paschke Polish Pilsner. If you guys don't know, Ed was a famous Chicago artist known as Mr. Chicago.
Brilliant.
So, we actually actually created a beer in his honor, and we utilized hops from Poland. So it's a true Polish Pilsner with you know, Polish hops. It has that Baltic flair at the very end. Absolutely delicious, nice and cold on a hot hot day or a cold day. It warms you up, so even better.
I love that.
Is really,
that is
really
one of my favorite
local beers.
Doesn't
it taste good?
See?
It is, Kev?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Drinkable. You can have plenty more than just one of those bad boys, but there's a lot of flavor, and it's not too
there
heavy,
is good
too.
Flavor.
Big fan of it.
Light and bright, keep me employed. I appreciate the good words.
I'm telling you, I like that one a lot, too. That tell me the name again.
That's the Ed Paschke Polish Pilsner.
Ah, the Ed Paschke Polish Pilsner.
Polish Pilsner, yes.
And
exactly.
Where is that available if we wanted to get the Ed Paschke?
Throughout Chicagoland. You know, any liquor store can get our beer, but by all means, go in there, and if they don't have Argus, ask for it, and they will get it for you.
And for people who don't know, because I think we lost that about 15 years ago now, but Ed Paschke was a true original. You can look him up in his art. You know, artists around the world talked about how great he was, an artist, if you will, and a larger than life character and figure in real life as well. So that's really cool that you got the.
Yeah, so one of our guys, John Fryer, he actually became friends with his son, and that's how we got to do this beer. He was actually going to send some artwork down to the brewery for a little art show. Then we found out we'd have to have, like, you know, $1 million insurance policies, we just went with posters.
Okay.
And it's, I just
really
spilled
good.
The Ed Paschke. That's why there's a little bit of
on the
interruption
desk, not on
here.
Herself,
no,
so we're good.
No, it's all good. It's been, I wanted to taste more.
Two studio spills. Oh, sorry, Ro.
sorry, Ro.
Okay,
it's
so
all
we
fine
the
when
Pilsner's
you get back.
Great. That's A+. No doubt about it.
All right.
What's
so let's
next?
Move on.
The next one is our Argus Lager, and that's actually been one of our staples. It won a bronze medal at the World Beer Cup, as well as a gold medal at the World Beer Championship. It's a Vienna style lager. Very delicious. You know, nice maltiness at the very end.
Right. Yeah.
So one of oddly enough, one of my favorites as well. I brought in some of my main.
Why not? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you got.
And I like this
because
it's not. It doesn't overpower you. You know, because a lot of these in craft beers, you have, you know, a couple of sips, it's great, but then you're looking at the rest of the bottle and you feel like, oh, I'm not. And this is something you could see, right, Anna?
Totally
very smooth.
Sipping it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
And actually, the artwork was done by the cartoonist for Rick and Morty on that. So it's the Argus Hundred Eyed Monster. Pretty special beer as well.
Very cool.
Oh, it looks great. The artwork too. All right.
Number three.
What's behind door number three?
We have our Pegasus IPA. Now, IPAs are so hot, and they've been so hot.
Mm-hmm.
What makes ours a little bit different is an English IPA. So instead of, you know, punching you with hops, it's going to massage you with hops. And,
hello.
You know, who doesn't like a good massage, right?
Why, I just had one sip. Hello.
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 Hello. Cheerio. Very nice. Just get this to the royal family. Maybe President Trump could bring it over for his upcoming visit.
Great choices.
So good.
I got some more for later as well.
Speaking our language right
And so
there.
Those tours are on Sunday. You
Saturdays.
Saturdays, sorry.
I can't do Saturdays and Sundays.
No, we would not expect that of you. That would be too much. But do you go online to sign up, or how do you
Yeah, you actually have to go online. So we're not a brew pub. We're not a restaurant. You know, we don't serve hamburgers.
Can you just show up and knock on the door?
Well,
and hey,
you know,
can you give me a tour?
It's happened before, but you got to check our website to make sure that we're actually, you know, there. Because, like, this weekend, for example, I'm at Hyde Park Brewfest.
Right.
So I will not be at the brewery. But we just got number one brewery tour in Illinois and number seven in the whole United States. So we're doing something right.
And that's just argusbrewery.com.
Argusbrewery.com.
ARGUS. Spelling bee we were talking earlier. So. And then, of course, we were talking about the Hyde Park Brew Fest. And that, you know, you see June 1st and 2nd, you go, oh, okay, that's tomorrow.
Absolutely. I know. I can't believe it. And you got to get out and have fun because this is the time to do it. We're going to be right back with more from our guests, Jonathan Swain, Nick Lubavitch, the Hyde Park Brew Fest going on this weekend, the best beers in all of Chicago. It's going to be available for you. Some great music, lots of fun, too. Back with them in a moment, but let's check in, see what's happening. The top of the hour in the news here. Here's Kim Gordon.
For the second day in a row, documents have been made public in the Jussie Smollett case.
It's the Rocon Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper in the house right now. Ro is off today. The Carnarvon wagon is rolling, and we have special guests. Jonathan Swain, he's the founder of the Hyde Park Brewfest. That is going on this weekend. It's something you want to check out. Mm-hmm. We have Nick Lubavitch with us. He's the local brew historian for Argus Brewery. Fantastic beers. Number one brew tour in the world, or the United States, or something.
That's next.
Sorry, what did you say?
Let's go with the Ro Khan wave. It's been voted the number one beer in the entire universe 17 years in a row. Exactly.
Can't overstate
it. No, it actually did nationally ranked, so that's very cool.
That is so cool. So go back to you, Jonathan, because a lot of people say, you know what, I haven't been to Hyde Park in a while. I know that there's a lot going on there. Remind us of the things you need to get there other than your festival, why you want to celebrate your neighborhood.
I mean, Hyde Park is just a neighborhood in Chicago that's been historically known for its great diversity. Diversity of income, diversity of race, diversity of sexual orientation. Everybody was welcome in Hyde Park, and it's always been that way, at least for the time that I've been alive, which has been a little while now.
You're from there. Your family lives there. Your business owners.
Family's been there. We're rooted in that community, and so we enjoy celebrating that, especially in a city that oftentimes is viewed as being very separated, segregated, and the like. We want to celebrate all that is Hyde Park. And then you add to that that sometimes the South Side gets a bad rap. And, you know, people say, well, that, you know, that's on the South Side. I don't know about the South Side. You know, it's it's a great neighborhood. I mean, you got the University of Chicago. You have the Museum of Science and Industry. You have the Smart Museum of Art, Court Theater. You have great restaurants.
The restaurants are phenomenal.
57th Street Beach. I mean,
57th Street Beach.
I mean,
you know, I got to give a shout out to my guys at Virtue Restaurant that just opened up on the corner of 53rd and Harper. Oh. A great restaurant, one of the hottest restaurants in Chicago that just opened up. So, I mean, you have all of this in Hyde Park. Yeah. And so we encourage people that this is a celebration. I'm on the board of the Hyde Park Chamber of Commerce, and what we try to do is try to expose businesses, and we look at the Hyde Park Brew Fest, and the Chamber's our partner to help the opportunity to expose Chicago to all that is Hyde Park. Let people come down to the South Side and just see, you know, what we have going on down there.
Because you're going to want to come back again and again. Absolutely. After you show up there.
Absolutely. There are some blocks in Hyde Park that will take your breath away. Mm-hmm. And I've taken people sometimes, they want to get out of the car and take photos. You're like, who lives there?
Right.
You know, I mean, just
those
absolutely houses. Gorgeous. Home, like Frank Lloyd Wright, of course, designed a lot of homes there. And yeah, going all the way back to the World's Columbian Exposition, that's where it was, you know, the famous 1893 fair. So it's had this long history. But as Jonathan's been saying, you know, especially a lot of people from outside, and they just see things on network news or the cable news channels, like, it's outside. And like, there's a lot to
Please,
it.
Please, yeah.
Know?
This
and
is
what much, much more good.
A lot to discover. Or even the fact that your brewery is looking.
Well, yeah, the South Side has the only national park in the whole city. You know, historic Pullman, we have park rangers that walk around the neighborhood.
That's
so
awesome.
It's definitely safe. Yeah, it's a special place.
That is so cool. All right, so tell us again, you want to go on a brewery tour, you want to come out to the fest. Let's start with you, Jonathan. What do people need to do? Where do you go? And when is it?
So it starts tomorrow. It's Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 9. The beer sampling is from 1 to 7. You need to purchase tickets for the beer sampling. You can go to our website, HydeParkBrewFest.com, H-Y-D-E-P-A-R-K, BrewFest, B-R-E-W, .com, to buy tickets. Or if you just want to come hang out and enjoy the atmosphere, enjoy the music, we have tons of vendors that'll be out there, great food, and just enjoy the neighborhood. You know, you're more than welcome to come on out and just see kind of what we're got going on the South Side.
Awesome.
Love it.
And then, Nick, you said you got some things to promote, too. You got the brew tours, but you got to go online to ArgusBrewery.com.
ArgusBrewery.com. Check it out. Make sure we're doing tours. But, you know, we got a lot of fun stuff out there. Email us if you want us to show up at one of your favorite bars. You know, we go to the North Side as well as the South Side.
Field trip.
Exactly.
Road trip.
You know, wherever they
You guys
serve
make
beer,
it to the North Side, too?
Believe it or not, it took me a while to realize this. Same time zone. Because
no
I always thought maybe it was a different time zone. Are they in Rocky Mountain time? But yeah,
can
North Side, South Side.
This is my first time past 95th Street in like 3 weeks. So.
Does it feel, the air feels different
it's definitely
here?
Different. I'm definitely higher
some
up.
Some oxygen you need?
Exactly.
Oh, I just realized you've got a couple other beers here for us to sample.
Yeah,
let's make sure we get those in.
That we're going to have at Hyde Park Brew Fest tomorrow is our Honey Ginger, Golden Prairie Honey Ginger. It's one of my favorite summertime beers. Actually, that beer got me through last year's summer.
Well, there was a girl named Honey Ginger that got me through a summer in 94, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
That story on the back
Separate
of the bottle.
Separate story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this has, you know, nice hints of honey and ginger.
Okay.
Nice maltiness there as well, but it's a spiced beer. It's absolutely delicious.
That has a nice flavor to it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'll save the dark beer for last. That's actually our black lager. That's Cygnus Black Lager. That's one of our newest beers out. It's a beautifully roasted lager. And a lot of people, you know, they get scared of a beer that's dark, but don't be scared.
You know, wow.
It's a light, refreshing black lager.
I got notes like you do with the wine on that.
Yeah.
Exactly. That roastedness, it's beautiful.
And thank you for just calling it black lager and not, you know, old Jack McConaughey's 1893. You know, some of these drinks, by the time you get done pronouncing it, they're like a last call. I'll have the black lager, okay?
Lager,
and it can be intimidating, too, when you hear all that stuff. This is a really good beer. It's awesome.
That's what Argus Brewery does. We make great, simple beers that are, you know, sessionable, ready for everyone to drink. There's no such thing as an ex-craft beer drinker. So come out to Hyde Park Brewery, you know, try
some
of our beers.
There's a bumper sticker for the South Side.
I love it. I love it. And then you can go to the tours. You can do that. You can come out to the Hyde Park Brew Fest this weekend and just visit Hyde Park and check
out
all the things.
Remember, too, you can get just free if you just want to show up. That's cool, too. And then decide if you want to get the sampler's ticket or anything like that. So June 1st and 2nd, 12 noon to 9 p.m. Thanks for starting at 12 noon, too, then, because then you don't feel guilty about saying, all right, it's time. Let's get a beer.
Are any Argus Brews available at Sox Park? A listener wants to know.
Maybe if they ask hard enough.
Keep asking.
Make that happen.
Yeah. Keep asking because they need to be there.
Exactly.
This is like really good.
Man. You know, the rise of the South Side.
There we go.
I love it.
And then Argus's building has a former horse stable. No wonder there's a horse on the roof.
Yeah. actually, as you pass the train, we have one of the horses of honor. An artist did that for us. It actually has a neon light on the inside of the horse. It's got the Chicago flag in there.
Get out.
Go to the horse.
Cool. Yeah. And we actually have another horse as well, another one of the Chicago Horses of Honor that was actually painted like a beer and pours beer. It has two tappers in it.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you both so much.
I love this city so much.
I do too. We celebrate the right things.
Turn anything into a tap, that's so great.
Jonathan, can pour beer out of anything.
Right, pretty much.
Jonathan Swain, Nick Lubavitch, thank you so much
guys.
For joining us. Head on out to Hyde Park Brewfest. Check out the argusbrewery.com. Go on a tour. Get their beers. Really incredible. Thank you both so much.
Keep me employed.
Appreciate it. You deserve it, man. This is awesome. Thank you. Coming up, the stories that matter from Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway 4-2 in Europe. Listen to win your way to Pucks and Prague weekday mornings at 7:40 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say, play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Here is Kim Gordon.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money.
Richard Roper is here. He reviewed Rocket Man for us, gave it 3.5 stars, the Elton John biopic. It stars Bryce Dallas Howard, one of my favorites, and I know you sat down with her, interviewed her.
Yeah, so Taron Egerton is fantastic as Elton John, and this is a story that goes to his past growing up in kind of a hardscrabble neighborhood in England. So Bryce Dallas Howard plays Elton John, Reginald Dwight, originally mother, and she ages like 50 years in the film because there are flashbacks going all the way back to the 50s, and then it goes all the way through the 80s and 90s. So Bryce was in London. I was here in Chicago last Sunday, right after the premiere of the film, and we had a chance to talk about the film and her character and everything about Rocket Man.
Can you tell everyone just a little bit about your character of Sheila?
Yeah. So Sheila, Elton John's mother, they had a really brutal, toxic relationship. And for me, it was really important to hear from people who were not associated with the movie, you know, who knew her, to kind of understand a little bit more what was going on. And the truth was that she was a very angry, broken person. And the impact of that was really damaging on Elton John.
Absolutely. And you really convey that. And, you know, it's sometimes heartbreaking because with Elton's father, he's basically, you know, a villain. He's a man incapable of love. But with Sheila, we see that she is in an abusive relationship with her husband. She came from a place where she didn't know love, and she's at least trying, but she really, it feels like she just doesn't know how to love her own son.
Yeah. The plight of the narcissist. I mean, truly. Yeah, it seemed to be that there was a lot of anger, there was a lot of resentment, jealousy, and that kind of just grew. You know, the more successful he became, the deeper that resentment grew. And so, you know, it was really heartbreaking for me to hear kind of how their relationship evolved and the love that Elton had for his mother. And the ways in which they were, he was living with her even when he was an adult. But it was it was just, you know, an incredibly dysfunctional dynamic.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, it's like, you know, I think he had four albums Elton had, you know, that had been number one hits and was still living with his mom, clearly trying to win his mom's approval through his career because he couldn't get it in everyday life. Can you talk a little bit, Bryce, what's it like to play the arc of this character? Because when we first meet her, she's roughly your age in real life, but you get the, I'm sure as an actor, it's always a fun challenge to play someone who ages all the way to 70, in addition to the makeup and the prosthetics. You know, you get to do all these kind of, that had to be a great challenge for you.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that was so fun. I kind of felt like, because I'm 38, and when we start, she's in her early 20s, and then kind of going up to, you know, my age now, and then when he's a teenager, and then, yeah, going all the way up to 70. And it was really wild, because I had never done prosthetics like that on my face. And my mom happened to be around, and she was able to come by the test, and it wasn't looking right. The prosthetics weren't looking right, and she stood next to me, and she's in her mid-60s and hasn't done anything to her face. And we looked in the mirror and realized that we weren't giving me nearly enough freckles.
Yeah, how do those develop all of a sudden? They come out of nowhere when you're 60.
I know. It's the kind of the compound effect of the sun.
So did you make it clear to your mother that you were only basing the physicality in some parts on the role? Certainly not the character itself, because your mother's wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure she knows. Yeah, no.
And you have a background, obviously, not only in film and TV, but stage. You spent some time here in Chicago with Steppenwolf. And
yeah.
You know, and Rocketman, you know, it comes across to me, Bryce, it's a musical, but it's also, you know, it has a feel sometimes of a brilliant stage adaptation. Can you talk a little bit about the different notes you had to hit as an actor? Because sometimes it's very authentic and natural and realistic, but other times it's very stylized.
Yeah, no, that's actually a really good way of putting that. I'm gonna totally steal that. yes, it feels like almost a mashup between a Broadway musical and a concert and a fantasy biopic. And certainly the conceit of using Elton John's music in his story in a way to show the passage of time, to give a voice to his inner thoughts, I thought that was ingenious and creative. And so fun. So, you know, it's we would be playing for naturalism a lot of the time, but then, you know, say for a song like I Want Love, that was an incredible song in terms of its, you know, the lyrics representing really kind of what Elton and his family were all going through. There wasn't love there. And so, you know, then you're breaking into song. So it's really fun because the form itself is a little experimental. And so that always kind of, for me as an actor, gives me permission to go a bit further than I would if, say, you know, it's a gritty, what feels like a gritty docudrama.
Does that also give you a little bit of leeway in terms of maybe just going off script a little bit and trying different takes?
Of course, yeah, there were definitely moments where that are in the movie that are just spontaneous, you know, improvised kind of moments. Dexter is really great at, he's an actor's director because he himself is an actor.
Sure.
And he takes great care to create an environment on set that is extremely creative, collaborative, where there's a lot of discovery and play. And so certainly, you know, there were a lot of things discovered on the day and whatnot.
In terms of working with Taron, who's, you know, obviously we've seen him in so many great things and do such great work, but I think this is just a next level. What kind of relationship did you guys have off camera as well as on camera?
Oh, he's just lovely. You know, he is lovely and professional and respectful and just a lovely person, you know. That's what's one of the things that's most exciting about this is to see someone like Taron, someone like Dexter, you know, who don't have inflated egos one tiny bit, get praise and feel a sense of accomplishment. I mean, that is really rewarding for me because because, you know, they're not people that are patting themselves on the back constantly. And it's always, you know, that unto itself is refreshing.
That I always feel like that fosters more creativity when you all trust each other, you have each other's backs. Nobody's in the trailer stewing. No one's, you know, no one's causing trouble. I would imagine that the environment on a shoot like this, which is so intense in some ways and then so ambitious, I'm sure that that nurturing environment is a key thing.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely, so important. Something like this to as also one of the ensemble to know how to support one another. And to show up in that way, just even energetically. And certainly it was an incredibly positive environment. There was so much preparation, and because of the choreography and the way in which the musical sequences played out, it was all discovered, you know, months and months and months in advance. And so it was relaxed on set as well. Everyone was working hard, you know, Taryn most of all, but it wasn't beyond what was possible because there had been so much practice. And that is always, to me, I that's what I love the most, seeing that happen, because sort of trying to capture spontaneous greatness on the day of filming, I find to be sometimes a little futile. And instead, you know, they had rehearsals, proper rehearsals, and so they were able to capture greatness again and again and again and again.
And we've been talking about the style of the film, and Dexter, you know, the first minute, Bryce actually reminded me of All That Jazz, which is such a brilliant film, and also took so many stylistic chances, right? I mean, the neon and everything. And I love that. So as we've been talking, you have the opportunity to do all these kind of stylized things. But then Dexter also, you know, there are certain scenes where it's almost Shakespearean. It's you know, we're so close on your face, and you know, in a telephone conversation or the heartbreaking dinner conversation late in the film, and you do so much with your face and your eyes. Can you talk a little bit about your process and where you go to get, you know, hit those notes? Sometimes not even say anything, just with the look on in your eyes.
Well, I think that, you know, that performance and all that kind of stuff is so fun because those are things that, you know, you prepare for it, you rehearse, you try to understand the material, understand the person, the character, the circumstances. But when you're actually filming it, it's really fun to just work on being kind of as present as possible, and in a way, as unaware as possible as you can be, because it's an awareness of being unaware, so that you can really actually listen and respond organically. That when I see performances where people are doing that, like when I like watch a scene that I was somehow a part of after the fact, the people who were the actors who are the most present are definitely the most have the most magnetism, and you're most interested in. You just believe it. So that's kind of what I just think about in terms of those circumstances.
And can you before I know I got to let you go, Bryce, but can you just talk a little bit about Sir Elton's involvement and also his reaction when he first saw the film?
Yeah, it's been so wonderful. He was very involved, of course, in the development of this project, the launching of this project. He was not around on set when we were making it, and gave everyone that space, which I think was actually very respectful.
Sure.
But now to get to be here at Cannes with him and to have seen the premiere, to kind of, it's so surreal. And kind of amazing to get to be close to that experience, you know, him and Bernie seeing the stories of their lives unfold before them with their music accompanying, you know, picture.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations again. I've been a fan of your work forever, Bryce. I think this is really one of your finest performances.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care now.
Thanks. You too.
Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Richard Roper in studio, and just listen to that Bryce Dallas Howard. She's something special.
Yeah,
really talented.
She's just lovely, and I really hope people get out there and support Rocket Man. If you love Elton John, or even if you don't know a lot about his music, and everybody knows his music, you know, I mean, he's been 50 years
now.
Isn't
it incredible?
I think it's the Beatles, the Eagles, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, and Elton John, maybe the top five selling artists of all time when you think about his catalog of work. And it's a great film. It really is.
It is. 3.5 stars you gave it, so yes. Go out and see that. And Bryce Dallas Howard, there's an interesting article about her in the Wall Street Journal as well, about how her parents, I was wondering, why is she so down to earth? Why does she seem that way? Mm. Of course, her dad seems that way too, unaffected in a strange way, in an unbelievably hard to believe way because of being in Hollywood, being so successful. But he apparently moved the family out to Connecticut, and they lived most of their life out there in this like area where they had a lake and wilderness.
Normal,
and,
you know, as best as you can upbringing. And yeah, it's pretty remarkable because Ron Howard, who's going on to become a great director, he was on the Andy Griffith Show when he was like 5 years old, probably as Opie, right?
How about that?
And just had, you know, just kept things in perspective and had priorities. So
he should write the book on that because somehow, absolutely. And then he went on to be a director of so many amazing films, and he's just been for decades a successful force in Hollywood and well-respected, too.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think when people see this movie, if you love Elton John's music, it's really interesting to see where he came from. You know, it's another one of those stories about someone, the most unlikeliest of rock stars when you look back at it, as he says in the movie. You know, Reginald Dwight, this kind of short, pudgy, gap tooth, trying to figure out his sexuality, you know, comes from nowhere. And then all of a sudden, he's, you know, cut to 20 years later, he's playing Dodger Stadium, you know.
And his piano started very early, I imagine, because it just seems like it was a passion.
He was a savant, you know. He could hear something and then just play it by ear. And then the amazing thing to me always is, you know, Lennon and McCartney would work on things together, but with Bernie Taupin and Elton John, it was Bernie Taupin would write lyrics, send them or give them to Elton John, and then Elton John would figure out the music to go with it, which is so interesting that they did it that way. It wasn't like they were in the same room and Elton said, hey, I got a tune. Would you like to write something to it? Or Bernie be like, basically wrote a poem, you know, or something cool, and the lyrics are amazing. But Elton always figured out this should be a fast song, this should be a ballad, this should be a love story. Incredible.
And how did they find each other? That doesn't give away.
No, actually, it was really basically through a newspaper ad, like people, hey, I'm looking for a lyricist, you know, back in the day. Neither one of them
Craigslist
had done anything. And a manager put them together and said, all right, this guy can play a little, that guy can write a little. And early on, because Bernie Taupin, he's played by Jamie Bell, who goes all the way back to, was in movies as a kid. The early thought was, well, maybe Bernie Taupin should be the front man because he's classically handsome and you'll just play the piano, Elton, because you're not a guy that's a leading man. And Bernie was like, no, I write the words. He's going to be front and center.
Wow. And remind me who plays Elton John. He's the young Elton in the movie.
Taron Egerton plays Elton John in a remarkable. And I just love all the 70s fashions, the cars and everything, too. Because, again, it takes us from the 50s through... you know, really the 90s. And also, you know, a lot of the addictions. At one point, Elton John says, I'm addicted to drugs, drink, sex, shopping. What else you got?
And I hear it's being edited for some of the international markets. Because
but here
really
you get to see the full version.
Yes. Yeah. And so you gave it 3.5 stars.
Yes.
Oscar buzz on this one? I mean, even though it's early in the year.
I hope so.
You hope so.
It deserves it.